Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
He would throw all of them under the bus. Both of his sons, it's already been stated and reported that he would throw Don Jr. under the bus first before he'd throw Ivanka on the bus, under the bus. And so, because he's always had that infatuation with that young lady, and it's really sad.
Those teams can't be held accountable to anybody else but themselves. So until they get sued that they break up the NFL in an antitrust kind of way, then nothing's going to happen. So they do everything at all costs to not have discovery.
He never spoke out against Trump. And Trump has been touting that same line that Pence could have done this, Pence could have done that. He is not lighting dust on that. He's been saying that since the beginning, and he's still going after Pence, and he's still saying this stuff. Why is Pence doing this now? Trump ain't changed this tune, but Pence has.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Thank you so much for the wonderful introduction, and good morning. Today is April 28, 2024, and it's the Sunday Morning Roundtable, where our panelists bring their topics to the fray. After we say a morning prayer, we'll be right back to kick it around. Don't go anywhere. It's the serious side on a beautiful Sunday right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best.
Online radio at its best.
Good morning, Lord. Today is the start of a brand new day. I come to you with thanksgiving and praise. I ask you today, Lord God, to forgive me of all my sins. Please forgive me, Heavenly Father, for the things I have done that is not pleasing to you. I repent of all my sins. Please forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I worship you, my Lord, and give you thanks for all you have done. I praise you with all my heart. Lord, today is a brand new day, and I do not know what it will bring. So I come to you for guidance. Please lead me in all the things that I will do today. Please give me a clear mind to make the right decisions. I know that your mercies are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. So, before I start my day, I want to thank you and worship you in spirit and in truth for all things you have done in my life and what you're about to do today. I know, Lord God, that there is nothing impossible with you, and all your plans are good and perfect. Lord, let me not go on my own understanding today, but in all my ways, help me as I go and start my day. Be with me and guide me with your Holy Spirit, that I may do what is right and be pleasing to you. I want to start today with an offering of praise and worship to you, with all my heart and all my soul. Let me forgive all who have hurt me yesterday and in the past. Please allow me to have a fresh new beginning today, filled with your blessing and favor. Forgive me, Lord God, for all my sins, and be merciful to me. Use me today, that you may be proud of me, and that delight you in all my ways. Let the people around me today be generous and considerate towards me and towards one another. Let me be a blessing to everyone today. Please give me peace and let me be patient in everything I do. Let your angels surround and protect me today. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I love you. Amen.
347-850-1272 is our calling number, 347-850-1272. It is the Sirius Side on a beautiful Sunday morning. A little cloudy here in the great state of Texas, but we hope that the weather's good in your neighborhood. Of course, I'm Jay Ralph. Thank you so much for spending a portion of your Sunday with us. And as always, I never share this stage by myself. My big sister's in the house. Mr. Elias is in the house as well. Let's say good morning to them both. Vanessa Maybelli from the McAnally. Good morning, boo. How you feeling? I know that the hip is kicking that tail. How you doing?
I'm doing a lot better. I am so grateful. When I tell you, I felt some prayers coming from everywhere because I was just telling Bobby, I don't know what to do with this pain. I just don't know what to do with this. I just didn't know what to do with that pain. But he has taken extremely good care of me. When I say sickness and in health, y'all, this is the sickness, and I'm so grateful that I had him to take care of me. So I'm blessed, and I'm here. 2 weeks
after tomorrow.
All
right, there you go. Good job. I hope that the pain subsides. But like I said, you know, through sickness and through health, till death do us part. Tell you what, folks, write it down. If you want to look at a marriage that works, that's the bomb diggity, that's full of prayer and inspiration, look no further than Bobby Jones and Vanessa Maybelli from the McAnally. Every marriage has its ups and downs. But how you navigate through those turbulent times is what gets you to the other side. God bless you. Love you both. The man who gets the first and last word here on the Sirius Side, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. And good morning, Nessa. Good morning, Momo B. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Man Music. Good morning, Real Day. Good morning, Rich Sister. And good morning, my brother Hawk. And good morning, my brother Jamal.
The number is 347-850-1272. And, of course, if you listen to the show, this is the part of the show where we kind of rap and clap. And it's always dangerous on a Sunday morning roundtable because I usually say we talk about things that are not on the show's agenda. But because I don't know what's on the show's agenda, I have to walk through murky water. So I'm going to throw this one out here, and I'm going to assume no one's going to talk about it. Nate Robinson, if you know who Nate Robinson is, if you follow the NBA, a small guy in stature, had big hops, played for the Knicks, played for a number of teams. I think people most recently know him for the Bulls, yeah. I think people recently know him for getting knocked out as on the undercard of the Mike Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight, but sad news this morning. It looks like Nate Robinson needs a liver transplant or a kidney transplant to live. Mr. Elias, have you heard about this?
Yeah, I have, man. It's sad, man. It's sad, and it's wow. I always thought this guy was a hell of an athlete. And, man, just to know that he's going through this, man, it breaks my heart. It really does. It really, really does, man.
It does. Yeah. It's, you know, with famous people, I don't know. It's just people sometimes say, well, why do you feel a certain way about, you know, rich people? They have all the necessary means to take care of things. You don't really know this person. But in a way, you kind of do because they live their life publicly. And you are part of the public. And so people feel that they know you. I know that we are very small fish in a big pond, but it's amazing how even when people respond during the Pastor Steve States Your Case, they call us by our first names, they talk about things we've done in the past. You know, they spend a portion of their life with us, listening to us, you know, through the J. Ryle Show days and now to the Sirius Side, so people feel that they know you. So, yeah, that's the reason why we feel a certain way about people when they get sick. So, and speaking of which, beautiful segue, a lot of listeners have chimed in wishing Vanessa well. Vanessa, you know, give us an update on what's happening with you, because you talk about those prayers that were coming from a lot of our listeners. So why don't we give them an update on how you feel and how's everything kind of progressing for you, if you don't mind.
I don't mind. And I did feel prayers because, okay, so y'all, for those of you who don't know, because hell, I didn't know. They sawed through the bone in my hip, and because it had arthritis in the bone and it had calcium. Don't ask me what that means. I don't know. But I can feel the screw thing. If I would get so mad, I don't know what it's called. The screw thing, the bolt thing, the metal thing that's going to be stopping me going through the airport. I feel it when I sit down because it is on my hip. It's around the side of my hip. And my tissue inside of my body has not wrapped around it yet.
Oh, that's right. That's an important piece.
So I feel it. And so I'm trying to wean myself off of codeine because I don't want to become addicted.
Yeah.
But when Bobby see my face start turning, looking crazy, he be like, when was the last time you took a pain pill? He be like, you better take that pain pill.
Go get it.
He's like, you better take that pain pill. So, y'all, I can't sit low. I can't pick up anything. I got those little prong things that people use to pick up stuff or reach for stuff in the cabinet. I can't lift anything. I can't sit.
Wow.
I can't walk without a walker. And I don't have that cute little red walker with the little seat and all of that. I can't even use that. I have to use the old person walker, which I'm old, the old person walker with the tennis balls that Bobby had to put on the back. Because if I stand with a regular walker, I am dizzy. I'm woozy.
Mm.
Y'all, if I was to have a rum and coke with a lime right now, I probably would pass out because I'm so woozy. So just pray that my body heals the way it's supposed to heal. When I lay in the bed the first 2 weeks until Friday, y'all, I couldn't put my leg in the bed. Bobby had to come and put my leg in the bed. If I got up in the middle of the night to use the potty, I got up, I wouldn't use the potty. I had to wake Bobby up to put my leg in the bed.
Wow.
On the same side of where my surgery is. And my foot has to be straight because it can't mold crooked.
Yeah.
They got to mold my hip back in place. I had no idea. No idea. So when they start telling y'all, oh, you got a little arthritis in your hip or your knee got a few little functions, let me tell y'all, I suggest, because it doesn't matter if you black, white, green, or purple, arthritis don't care what color you are.
It's not prejudice, huh?
It's not prejudice. So y'all need to ask the doctor then, what exercises can I do? What medications can I do? People say, I can't stand gabapentin. It doesn't work for me. Well, I'm addicted to gabapentin because if I don't take it, I feel that pain. And it's not even a pain pill. It just works with your joint. And I've been on them for about 2 or 3 years, but and so the doctor said that's what has prolonged me from having this surgery. And so I'm better, but I'm not well. I thank y'all so much. Keep praying. If you think about it, Lord, touch Vanessa's body because I'm still not there. But I am so much better, and I appreciate the prayers. I'm trying to tell you because I was crying.
Let me ask you a question. If you had to do it all over again, would you?
I don't have a choice. I didn't have a choice. It wasn't a choice. I knew this last year when I picked this week. I didn't have a choice. My arthritis was so bad until it was just throbbing. And I knew I was going to end up, I went from one pain pill. Jay, when you saw me from my party, I was on one pain pill. Last year, I went to two pain pills. By Thanksgiving last year, I was on three a day. So I had to go ahead and schedule it. Because my arthritis wasn't playing with me. I didn't have a choice. I was either be a codeine addicted person or go ahead and have the surgery.
Well, I mean, it's like, for example, and I don't know if I've told this story on the show, but I remember when I had to have a medical test done. And, you know, sorry, if you're eating your Cheerios, let me give you a 10-second warning. Go ahead and hit the mute button or, you know, put your Cheerios down because, you know. So basically what they had to do was they had to check a certain part of my body to make sure that I didn't have cancers. And they had to go through the front with no pain, with nothing to numb, or it had to be live, all the way live. When I tell you that I've broken bones before, I've had all types of things happen to me. This pain was a pain that I've never experienced in my life. And when they were done, I told the doctor, I said, let me tell you something. If y'all find something, guess what? We died from that, because I would never, ever, 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 ever have that procedure done again. And so that's why I say, if you had a choice, you know, would you do it again? And it sounds like you're saying, look, I didn't have a choice. But listen.
I didn't have a choice, but I will do it. I had to, if they said, Vanessa, would you go back through that pain again? Yes, I would.
Well,
because the pain that I have been, I would, because the pain I've been going through the last 2 or 3 years, I'm tired of having it. I'm tired of having it. And so they say I'm going to feel a lot better.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to ask you this question 6 months from now, because right now you're saying, you know, hey, you're saying yes, but I'd probably be like, oh, hell no, I can't do this again. But ask you 6 months from now.
The worst is over.
Okay. All right.
I absolutely feel like if I was going to say hell no, I'd be saying it right now while I'm still in pain.
Okay.
But,
all right.
But no, but you say that in about 3 or 4 years, I am looking at possibly my other side, because they can see the arthritis on the other side, but it has no calcium buildup. So, and I got to know, I'm 61, so arthritis ain't got no age frame either.
There you go. There you go. All right.
Well, Vanessa, when Vanessa said, I feel a little woozy, you remember Rick Young when he said, I don't know, coach, I feel a little woozy.
No, I don't remember. Oh, right. Oh, that's the inside joke for the 219. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Big Rick Young. Shout out to Big Rick Young, man. That's my guy there. All right, 347-850.
Yes, I would love to come and coke, though.
All right, folks, we're going to step out, take it.
Smoke a little weed, Vanessa. It helps. I'm telling you, smoke a little weed.
Shut up, Miss Elliott. Shut up. All right. So listen, oh my God. All right, so listen, we're going to take a break. NPR News Update is coming up next. And Mr. Elias is on the clock. He has about 3 minutes. Can't wait to see what we're talking about first. Keep it right here, 347-850-1272. It is the Sirius Side on a beautiful but gloomy Sunday right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. First responders are on the job in Oklahoma, where there are tens of thousands of power outages following strong storms last night. Local media reports say several tornadoes touched down in the state. There is said to be significant damage in the small city of Sulphur. Forecasters say the severe storm risk will push into the lower Mississippi Valley today and tomorrow. In eastern Nebraska, residents are searching debris after an F3 tornado ripped through the area on Friday. More than 150 homes in Omaha's western suburbs were leveled by the storm. Nebraska Public Media's Brian Beach has more.
Preliminary damage reports indicate the tornado had winds up to 165 miles per hour when it hit Elkhorn, Nebraska just after 4 p.m. Friday. Only a few minor injuries have been reported, something Chris Franks with the National Weather Service says is a testament to people taking warnings seriously.
You see events like this around the country with this level of damage on tornadoes on the ground for this long, and almost inevitably you end up with fatalities or critical injuries.
Nebraska Governor Jim Pillen says he received a call from President Biden offering federal support for the cleanup process. More severe storms are expected in the Midwest throughout the remainder of the weekend. For NPR News, I'm Brian Beach in Omaha, Nebraska.
Amid the campus protests against the war in Gaza, the University of Southern California says it's hoping for a more reasonable response from students today before it's forced to take further action. Police swarmed the area last night after students returned to an encampment police dismantled last week, leading to the arrest Wednesday of more than 90 people. Student Ray Richards believes this latest police response over the top.
I think a lot of the students are really disappointed in the response because the protest was intentionally peaceful.
Israel's foreign minister, meanwhile, says a military incursion into Rafah and the southern Gaza Strip could be suspended if Israel and Hamas reach an agreement on releasing hostages. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports that Israeli media quote the diplomat as saying winning the release of hostages is a top priority.
In an interview with Israeli media, Foreign Minister Israel Katz said bringing the hostages home is the government's primary aim. When asked if that included delaying a promised incursion into Rafah, Katz reportedly said yes. If there will be a deal, we will suspend the operation. Katz is not part of the war cabinet overseeing the Gaza operation. Hamas is reviewing Israel's latest proposal. Israel has said it believes there are 4 Hamas battalions in Rafah and they must be defeated. But Rafah is also home to more than 1 million Palestinians who fled south from other parts of the Gaza Strip. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Jerusalem.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is returning to the Middle East for his 7th trip to the region since war in Gaza broke out with Hamas's attack on Israel more than 6 months ago. Blinken is due in Saudi Arabia tomorrow to discuss ceasefire efforts. This is NPR News.
Folks, if we're going to win re-election, I need you by my side from the very start. Whatever you're able to chip in, even if it's just a buck or two, will have a huge impact on our campaign. This might just be our hardest fight yet. Will you make a donation and stand with Kamala and me? It'd mean the world to us. Thank you.
Online radio at its best.
It is the Sunday Morning Roundtable where our panelists bring their topics to the table. And if you've been listening to the show, you know who's up first. The man who gets the first and last word, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S. Mr. L.E.S., man, what will we spend our time on for the next 20 minutes, sir? What are we talking about? Mr. L.E.S.?
I want to talk about the student protest on the campus, man. You know, this is what is really, I'm looking at news reports and I'm looking at the way people are treating this. And my question is, I wasn't able to really observe it in the 60s, but they had Vietnam War protests too as well. And people, of that era act like this is something new. Look, these kids are protesting, you know, do I agree with the way they're protesting? Hell no. I don't agree with anti-Semitism. I don't agree with it at all. I think that's the wrongest thing in the world. I think you should be able to protest, but hey man, you shouldn't go, what's the difference between you being anti-Semitic and going after the people with hate, and then you still, you know, you're protesting the war. What's the difference? But my deal is, some of these kids are protesting peacefully. And you guys, and then some of these, at Columbia, there are Jewish students in the camp protesting the war as well. This war is wrong, man. And people have this cavalier attitude about this war, saying Hamas attacked Israel, and I get it. There's going to be casualties, but when there's 14,000 children dead, and then another 8,000 to 10,000 adults that had nothing to do with the war, and you're so cavalier about it, I can understand why these kids are upset. I do. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, there's also stuff happening in the Congo, this and that. Well, I get it, you know, but the Congo is not prevalent, and they're not putting it out there. But the bottom line is, these kids are taking a stance, and I agree with some of it, not all of it, but some of it I definitely agree with.
Okay, so you're saying that the war is wrong. The war is wrong, and what? Put that in context for me. What do you mean it's wrong?
The way they're handling the way Netanyahu is handling this war is definitely is wrong.
Okay, now I
it's
agree
wrong
with
as
that.
Hell.
I agree with that.
It's wrong as okay. hell. It's wrong okay. as hell. It's but for people to on the other side to act like, well, it's all part of war is bull. I don't give a damn. You killing innocent women and children and men that had nothing to do with it. And you acting like it's so cavalier. And that's all part of war. I don't hear that crap. I really don't want to hear that crap. I don't. Now, you know, there's going to be casualties of war. Of course there's going to be casualties of war. When you're talking about 14,000 to 15,000 people, that means you don't give a damn. You're just bombing whatever you can to get whatever you can out of it. And they got, it's been brought to my attention, they got bombs that can actually just eliminate just a specific spot to hurt people. But you're killing, I mean, you're destroying Gaza. You're destroying. And it's wrong, man. I don't care who does it. It's wrong. It is wrong.
Okay, so let's kind of break this down, because when you think about, okay, so basically everyone knows October 7th, Hamas, stormed the music, their music festival, took people hostages. You saw these horrible images of ladies with blood, you know, in their sweats and things, meaning that they had been raped. It was just horrible. And so Israel said, okay, we need to go in and we need to fish this out. Hamas, if you don't know who Hamas is, it's an Islamic militant group that spun from the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood in the late 1980s, right? It took over the Gaza Strip after defeating a rival political party in elections in 2006. So now, I wasn't following it back then. I don't know how, if the elections were rigged. I don't know. It sounds like these people were voted into power. But I guess you talk about the student protests, Vanessa. A lot of people feel that this is going to be the Achilles heel for President Biden, because these young people are saying, hey, you need to stop this. And on one hand, Israel has, you know, Israel should have the ability to protect itself. I do agree with Mr. Elias that the way the prime minister is handling this war is ridiculous. And a lot of people feel that he's doing the things that he's doing just to maintain, to stay in power, because he, like Donald Trump, he has a whole bunch of political issues waiting for him on the other side. And so as long as he remains in office, then, you know, it's the same thing as an American president. Do you want to prosecute a sitting president or a sitting prime minister? But on the other hand, what makes me upset is the fact that the U.S. is saying, hey, don't do this. And he's saying, yeah, whatever. And so he's trying to straddle both sides of the fence, because he'll say, I'm going to do what I want to do. But then if you notice, you know, a week or two down the line, he's kind of complying with what the U.S. is saying. So he's trying to, you know, give catnip to the hardliners in his country. But at the same time, on a international stage, it looks like he's telling the U.S., F you. And we're sending a whole lot of money over there.
Yeah.
And Israel has it coming from both fronts, because now Iran is trying to, you know, throw bombs at them. And what saved them when they threw those 200 bombs or whatever it was towards Israel?
Uh-huh.
U.S. weaponry stopped damn near every rocket that they fired into Israel. So, you know, give me your thoughts on this, Vanessa. When we talk about about these protests on college campuses, you know, are these kids right, wrong, or indifferent? And Mr. Elias brought up the situation with Columbia, where they say, look, we're going to bring in some police to shut this down because y'all can't be doing it like this.
You know, out of the delirium in the last 2 weeks, I've been kind of keeping up with it. This is what I don't want to speak on it too much, because if I say something wrong and I wasn't comprehending it right, then people are going to be saying, what the hell is she talking about? Let me tell you what I don't like, and let me tell you what I get tired of. I'm actually so tired of the United States, who is the powerhouse and all of this stuff, and supposed to have all the money. And
I already know where you're going, but go ahead. I already know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
I'm just sick of it. I am so sick of always having to be the one to put out the money and then to beg other people to help us to get the money together to take care of whoever. I don't care if it's you. It could be Ukraine. It could be Africa. It could be whoever. I'm over it. The next thing is for me is out of all of those kids sitting up there messing, okay, it's important to them to be on the campuses to fight for what they feel is important to them. Did you fight for what is important to you? But a lot of those children that are graduating, and this is where my heart breaks, those were the same children that were graduating from high school during COVID. So they didn't get to celebrate them 12 years of going to school because there was COVID. Now, because it's a mess going on somewhere else in the world, those same children over here aren't going to celebrate the 4 years of college. These kids that went to school 18 years or whatever it is, 16, 17 years, and they don't get to celebrate nothing, but they do get to walk away with a whole bunch of school debt. So, y'all.
I don't even know what that means.
Wow.
Wow. I don't even know what that means.
No,
but okay.
Hey, wow. I got to agree. I understand what she's saying, and what she's saying is that they didn't get a chance to graduate. They didn't get a chance to get walk across the stage during their high school years. Now they're not getting a chance to walk across the stage in their college years. They don't get a chance to be celebrated at all.
They don't. They don't.
These kids are the same kids that graduated in 2020 when COVID hit, and they couldn't walk across the stage during COVID. And now it's 4 years later, they graduated from college. They can't be celebrated as they walk across the stage during college because of what's going on. So a lot of these campuses are shutting down the graduations. They're saying you cannot. USC told them you cannot go across our stage. There's no graduation ceremonies. So they didn't get a chance to celebrate during COVID.
How fair is that to the kids over here in the United States? Because the people whose kids are people at the country. How fair is that to these kids? Jay, look, if my child was graduating and she coming out of school with $50,000, $75,000, $107,000 worth of debt and couldn't even take a damn picture coming across the stage, I mean, I would be beside myself living. I'm mad and I ain't even my child through. But I'm just saying it's not fair that other people are having issues and the people up here in the United States are taking some of the hit on it. If people don't like what I said, I'm just sorry. But I'm feeling sorry for other people's children both ways. Those who are over here and don't like what's going on over there, go over there and fight that battle over there.
Don't be mad.
Okay.
Go ahead. No. What I'm saying is that, but that's why we live in the greatest democracy known to man. I mean, the bottom line is, these kids know this. These kids are making the choice. They know what they're doing. They're making a choice to protest. They know what the consequences are. We tell people all the time,
some of the people that's getting hurt by this aren't protesting. They go into class while the other ones are sitting out there intent tearing up the school property. But you know what's going to happen? It's like what Abbott is fixing to do. And you know what? I don't like Abbott. But let me agree with him on this one thing. If y'all feel like y'all want to go over there and go tear up those Texas colleges' properties and stop these other folks from having graduations because your mama, daddy, cousin, uncle, and auntie is from over there, don't send them another dime over to that school. And that's exactly what he's fixing to do. He's fixing to pull the funding. And for the first time, go ahead, Abbott, pull it.
Because if they
can't get these kids under control, if they can't stop these kids from being over there, ain't going to class, sleeping in a tent, putting trash all over the property. The Texas ain't got nothing to do with that. That college ain't got nothing to do with that. And even if it's some Texas children that's over there doing it, that's fine. They all need to be off the property so that people who ain't got nothing to do with it can live their best life and get their degrees, their diplomas, their masters. These children are coming out with debt out the wazoo and ain't even getting to take a picture going across and say, Jay, I don't care. I just don't. I'm sorry.
My only thing with that,
Vanessa, is that they got a First Amendment rights. They had the right to free speech. They got a right to protest.
Yeah,
and,
but they don't have a right to have this property.
A lot of these people are peacefully protesting.
Have you seen what they're doing to the property? Have you seen all that trash and tents and poles and
I'm going to quote the great fictional Will Smith from Bel-Air. He said, you know what? If the administration agrees with your protest, that means it's not an effective protest. A protest is supposed to make you feel uncomfortable. If they're comfortable with it, then you're defeating the purpose.
Everybody's not comfortable with it, Jay.
Well, but everybody's more comfortable with black folks sitting in on lunch counters back in the 60s. You know, you protest what you feel is being wrong. Miss Elias threw the figure out there earlier in the segment about how many kids are dying, children who are dying over there because of this nonsense. So at the end of the day, if they're passionate about something, I'm not going to knock them for their passion. And once again, you know, that's what
they don't have food and that kind of stuff at after school programs. How many children are dying over there in Africa? I mean, it's not just them, Jay. It's everywhere.
But Vanessa, we have to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to find, it's like anything else, right? Have you ever worked for an organization and you work in your section and what's going on in your section is priority to you? You got to get this done. But in the big scheme of things, the person that runs the whole place say, okay, your priority is great, but we have bigger priorities. I'll tell you what a VP told me one time. I was talking to him about a program that I was trying to implement. I'm like, sir, we are in trouble. He said, let me tell you something, Jay. He said, I understand exactly what you're saying. He said, but let me see, can I break it down for you like this? He says, we have a patient that's coming into the hospital. This patient has two things. This patient needs a major root canal. Because if they don't get this root canal, their teeth going to fall out. They're going to have headaches. They're going to be messed up. They got to get this done. But in the meantime, this patient is also in cardiac arrest. I got to save the patient's life first. Then we worry about that other priority. So at the end of the day, priorities are priorities. And I get what you're saying about Africa. You know, people can sit here and bring up Haiti. But like you said before, Vanessa, we're the most powerful nation in the world. You know, but we can't do everything and please everybody at the same time. Now, people may be pissed off because, once again, you're giving money to Israel, and Israel is like, we're going to do what the hell we want to do. I like to break things down simply, right? Simple Simon meant upon me. Keep it simple, stupid, or in my case, it's keep it simple, sexy, but I've digressed. There are people out there.
Then you're going to lie again.
You know what, Miss Delia? See, I just lost my train of thought because here you come with your insults. And so now I forgot what the hell I was going to say. So the hell with it. Fine, Miss Delia. Because you had to get your little joke in, because you had to try to find a witness.
I just told the damn truth.
I told
the truth.
It's kids. Keep it simple, sexy.
Hey, now, let me just ask the question so y'all can bring it home for me.
Yes, Vanessa. Yeah.
So y'all can bring it home for me. What is it that the kids, or these aren't children, but they ought to mean, what is it that they want the United States to do that they're sitting at all of these colleges on the ground blocking up graduations and stuff?
The U.S., they want the U.S. to stop sending Israel money to fund the war. That's what they want. That's it. Israel is our partner. Israel is our number one, one of our top allies. They want us to stop saying, look, guys, stop sending the money because of what they're doing to the Palestinian children.
But
that's
they're
what
not. Okay, but the same stuff that they're doing to the Palestinian children over there is the same stuff that those other children, where they were blowing up, Russia was blowing up schools and hospitals. Death is death, isn't it? Isn't it?
You talking about where? In Ukraine?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, death is death. So
yes,
the same stuff that's going on with the children dying over there and the children dying over here and the children dying over in Africa with flies on the TV commercials and stuff. I mean,
Vanessa, what Netanyahu is doing is that he's starving these people, right? He wants
and
to
that is
that
crazy.
Food coming,
it is.
He's going to let food coming to the country.
Is this the one, y'all, that Biden keeps saying, stop doing it, or we're going to do this, or don't do this, and we're going to do this, and
yes.
we did nothing?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one. He's starving these people. I mean, they got trucks sitting waiting to come into Gaza to feed them.
I told y'all to bring it
home. And he won't allow this to happen.
Oh,
so this is what these kids are protesting. These kids see this stuff and they're protesting it. And I agree with them. When you do stuff like that, yeah. And, you know, like I said, you hear these people being so cavalier, like, man, it's casualties of war.
So why don't they go
just die?
Over there in front of the White House instead of these schools and blocking up these graduation?
They're in front of the White House. And
they did
the White House correspondence dinner last night. They protested right out in front of that thing last night, too.
Yeah.
So they're protesting all over Vanessa. They like,
so what's
they're
gonna
not protesting
at,
that.
What's going to happen at the colleges? What can the college people do that's going to make them be able to get off the property? What are they going to do?
That's the First Amendment right.
They're doing exactly what you're complaining about. They're bringing in the authorities to try. In some places, some people are saying, look, that's just too much. Why are you allowing the police to come on campus to do these types of things? We're talking about the city police, because, you know, most universities have campus police, but they're saying, look, bring in the heavy artillery, because most campus police departments don't have riot gear. And they're saying, look, we got to get this under control. It's crazy. It's crazy. And a lot of people feel that that's going to be, President Biden's Achilles heel, because these young folks are trying to hold him to the fire. And at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. Looks like the smartest man in the world, Mr. Jerome Esprit, has jumped in for the last 3 minutes of this segment. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing outstanding, man.
Any
comments on this particular topic?
Well, you know, I don't know exactly where you were, but, you know, I disagree with bringing police in on college campuses.
I mean, that's too.
A part of what their freedoms are, and that's what they should be learning anyway, right? You're at college to expand your perspective. And so when these kids, you know, have sit-ins or whatever, it is not for the authorities to come in. So this is a conservative thing that says you can only protest about things that I want you to protest for. It's like looking at January 6th, right? They go into the Capitol, you know, use the bathroom all over the place, smeared it all over the place, and we're like, oh, they had a right to protest. That's not a protest. They did damage, right? These kids, just like with Occupy Wall Street, when they were sitting in the park, they just came and sprayed, you know, mace and stuff and drug them out. This country is becoming is like a dictatorship like that. And it's only for liberal people who it actually happens to, because there are things that you cannot protest in this country. And one, apparently, is Palestine. I mean, you cannot be on their side without everybody losing their mind. Or Occupy Wall Street and tell them that, you know, rich people are taking up all your money. You protest about any of those two, the hammer is coming down on you. So we have to kind of pull back and look at a different perspective when it comes to, you know, the rights of individuals to protest. You just can't protest when it's somebody like Trump or somebody going in office. When they're conservative, they're like, oh, my gosh, my rights are being taken away. But then at the same time, you have no money, no power, and you just sit in a freaking park, and they want to bring in the National Guard. So, you know, I don't agree with any of these college policies for them saying, hey, we need to bring in the, you know, regular police for these college students. I think they are, it just tells you that college indoctrinates you more than anything else. It's not there to kind of expand your horizon. You have the right to say that you don't like something that the government does. And you have to remember, apartheid only stopped in South Africa because of all of the protests on college campuses across this country. If you want an example of how that works, all the colleges started defunding their investment in South Africa, and then the government did, and it was Maxine Waters, and I can't think who else put up that bill, but they forced the president at that time to not give any money to South Africa. They overrode a veto from Reagan. And so those things do make a difference. That's why you hear conservatives yelling every time people on college campuses start protesting. Because it's effective. It works.
Hmm. That's right. That's true.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it does. It works. And so that's the reason why, once again, like you said, Mr. Elias, they have these people have the right to protest, and we should respect that. And like I said, the great fictional Will Smith, hey, if the administration agrees with what you're doing in a protest, then guess what? You probably ain't doing something right. You know, protests are meant to make people feel uncomfortable. And if they're comfortable with what you're doing, then that's just not a good thing. 347-850-1272. It's the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network. It's about 45 minutes after the hour, 15 minutes before the top of the hour. We're glad you guys are in the house with us. In this week's edition of In 4 Minutes or Less, something that you need to know. You know, what's happening with the abortion ban, it is having an effect on so many different states. And think about the ruby red state of Idaho. They're dealing with these issues as well. It's Covina time in 4 minutes or less. Something that you need to know. We'll be right back after this. Don't you go anywhere.
This week, the Supreme Court heard arguments on Idaho's abortion ban. Since the ban took effect, Idaho's biggest hospital system says the number of people needing flights out of the state for emergency abortions is up. Julie Lucetta with Boise State Public Radio has more.
Idaho's law allows physicians to terminate pregnancies only to save the life of the mother, not to preserve her health. That leaves doctors often second-guessing when to intervene, says Dr. Jim Souza, chief physician at St. Luke's Health System.
Is she sick enough? Is she bleeding enough? Is she septic enough for me to do this abortion and not risk going to jail and losing my license? And when the guessing game gets too uncomfortable, we transfer the patients out at a very high cost to another state where the doctors are allowed to practice medicine.
In 2022, a federal court said Idaho's definition of a medical emergency may be too narrow and put that part of the law on hold. But the Supreme Court lifted that hold in January while it considers the case. St. Luke's says since then, they've had to airlift 6 patients to neighboring states for emergency pregnancy terminations. That's compared to just 1 in all of 2023. Jim Souza.
Putting somebody in a whirlybird and flying them to another state creates an obvious delay in care. If she is in transit and begins hemorrhaging very quickly, the resources you have are no longer the resources of a tertiary care center. They're the resources of a helicopter.
At a press conference yesterday, Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador suggested St. Luke's is airlifting patients, quote, to make a political statement, and talking about it to scare people.
And the reality is that our law is very clear. It protects doctors, it protects women, it protects unborn children, and it ensures that the doctors can use a subjective standard. If they believe that the life of the mother is in jeopardy, it allows them to perform an abortion.
Labrador said the hospital system, talking about the number of patients it is flying out of state for emergency abortions, is misinformation, and criticized the U.S. attorney fighting Idaho's law before the Supreme Court for using the number in her argument. For NPR News, I'm Julie Duketa in Boise.
Online radio at its best.
347-850-1272. It is a serious out on a beautiful Sunday. It's the Sunday morning roundtable where our panelists bring their topics to the table. Always fun. Never know what they're going to talk about. So, Vanessa, you're on the clock. Want to see what you have on your mind this morning. So what are we talking about, Vanessa, in this next segment?
Oh, I had to think about it for a minute, but I think it's not of importance at all, but I'm just really curious, just like everybody else is, as to why Jerome, how you doing?
Hello.
Or Donald Trump's children. You know, they talk about him being a father and a grandfather and a husband, and but ain't none of his folks there. None of his people are in the audience with him. We do know his daughter is in Florida or whatever, but and if I was Melania, I wouldn't have been there either, even though Hillary was there for Bill. But the son, aren't the sons in New York, Jerome?
Yeah. No, I think some of them in Florida. I think they kind of go back and forth because New York is pretty much not that friendly.
So they go back and forth, like you said, is what they're saying. But not one day have they showed their face in court for Trump. And then he's so stupid. Then he gets up and he talks about that man who got immunity, Packard or whatever his name is. What's his name? The man who got immunity who took his guts on Trump last week.
Yeah, from the National Enquirer.
Picker.
Yeah.
Him. He got up and said on his way out of court.
Packer.
He was so nice and he was breathtaking. I'm breathtaking. He sat there and hung you out to the cleaner. So I don't.
Yeah, he did it with a light hand, though, because he still said, I consider him a friend, and, you know, he's done so much for me.
Yeah.
So,
So I'm really curious about all of this. And then I'm looking at the Supreme Court justices with this. They are divided as to if Trump was wrong or if he did it out of.
No, you mean immunity. It's you're talking about the immunity case now, right? You're not talking about whether because they're not weighing in.
What's that man named Packard? Yeah,
Pecker.
Inquiry man.
Pecker.
That's who I'm talking about. So I'm talking about him. He had immunity. What's the deal? Why are you screaming?
No. I'm saying you brought the Supreme Court up, and I'm like, well, the Supreme Court. They're not weighing in on his criminal issues. You're talking about the immunity case.
Well, let me leave the Supreme Court people out of it. Let me go back to the inquiry people. I just wonder why Trump is kissing the inquiry man's butt after the man then sat there and told all of his business. So that's my topic.
I don't know. Well, listen, I think at the end of the day, for when it comes to Donald Trump, what can he say? Because, you know, the guy that's on the stand, I mean, at some point, what I don't understand, Jerome, is how these people are going to jail for this man. And so Pecker is saying, look, I need to tell the truth on the stand. However,
right.
I definitely want Mr. Trump to know my admiration for him, that I think he's a great guy. This is nothing personal, but I am under oath. And I risk the opportunity or the option or the possibility of going to jail. So I think Trump is saying, you know what, he's a good dude. Plus, Trump probably knows this guy has a whole bunch of stuff in his closet.
Exactly.
So let me go on and be nice before he unleashed the wolves. What say you, Jerome?
Yeah, and so I think that he has an immunity deal, but your immunity deal can get blown up if you lie about something that you, when you told the truth previously, and then you lie about it on the stand. So now he can't take any of that stuff back, for one, because the prosecutors know to answer the question before they ask it. So he knows to blow up his immunity deal. All he has to do is lie. So he's not going to do that. But
right.
To Trump, I don't give Trump credit for anything, but he should not be mad at him. He's a narcissist, but he shouldn't be mad at him because if it was one of my friends or family, I would be like, go on there and tell the truth. I would not want somebody close to me going to jail. But to the other point that you were just making, he probably has so much more dirt on Trump that if you just confine it to that particular dirt, there's nothing you could do about it. So he's making no facial expressions. He ain't talking about him in the news. He probably knows some more stuff that is much more damaging than the stuff that he's actually telling.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, I'm your friend because I'm not telling that other stuff, right?
Exactly.
So, when you do dirt, boy, that you can't regulate how much dirt people, kind of sweep up under the rug at that point. You know, a little bit came out, you just swept around the edges. And that's what Pecker's doing.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know,
it's still going to get him convicted, but still.
True. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I don't see how the evidence is so solid in this case, Mr. Elias. I don't see how he walks away from this. Right now, the big issue is Trump continues to violate the gag order. And so now they're saying the judge is going to have to start fining this guy $1,000. I mean, $1,000 to that cat, even though he's not as rich as he claims he is. Still, $1,000 to him is like, you know, $5 to us. Well, for me, for you and Vanessa, it's probably about, you know, $500, but I digress. But at the end of the day, you know, the bottom line is, it is. The bottom line is that I don't know how he gets out of this, Ms. Delias, with the evidence. And they have Hope Hicks coming up. You know, his former fixer is going to be on the stand. You know, Stormy Daniels is going to, I mean, I just don't see how he gets out of this, man. What about you?
Well, like I said, as I said all along, his minions are out there. Now, and what happens if this is a hung jury?
And I believe that's going to happen.
Keep in mind, don't be so confident and cocky because, you know, he's playing the role of this saying, hey, you know, this is a Democrat, this is that. Hey, man, look, there's also Trump supporters out there that are masked. And they man, look, he's got his minions, and he's got 45% of the country that are his minions that will, no matter what this cat does, no matter what he does, you know, they're going to agree with him. And if you said somebody else did the same stuff Trump did, or how bad it is, and oh, it's this messed up, that's messed up, and then they say, well, Donald Trump did that, it wasn't that bad. It's not that bad.
45%. Jerome, do you agree with that number? Do you think 45% of Americans support Donald Trump?
No, I think it's a lot lower than that, but I think 45% will vote for him, which is very different, right? That's why he's not getting the protest in New York. He kept calling for it. He's like, oh, the people are going to be so upset if you bring me to trial. There's like three people out there. Ain't nobody riding with that dude like that, right?
He got mad at that. He was angry.
Yep. Right, because he thinks of it as like a cult following. Like they will do and go kill for him. They ain't down like that. Now, there's a small percent of rabid folks that in any given time, they will come out, right? Like when you had Strom Thurmond and all them fools come out, there was always a Tea Party. Them people was there before Donald Trump. So those folks are going to be wild. They're going to wild out. We have militia and all of that stuff here. But don't Trump is looking at that like that's his army. What he doesn't know, those people are just rabid and they hate anyway. So they're going to go with whoever's hating.
But let me ask you this, because I hear what you're saying. So if that's the case, then why the hell are all of these Republican Congress people, why are they saying the hell, I'm with Trump? If the numbers are not as large as you say they are, then why are people saying, look, I'm putting my political faith in Trump, going against everything they ever stood for? Because we talked about Chris Sununu. We talked about him, how he, you know, for the longest called Trump the scum of the earth. Then guess what? He's going to support him. We played that clip a few weeks ago. Look at Barr. Barr has spent the last 18 months just running Trump through the coals. And they asked this clown a few weeks ago, who he going to vote for? Guess who he going to vote for? He voted for Trump. So why did they do it,
right,
if the numbers are not as high as you say they are?
Because the numbers not as high as I say they are. It's because of that.
Huh.
So
really?
think about it this way. So if you have a rich constituency, which is not a voter base, being rich does not give you a voter base. Right?
Okay.
So what they learned after George W. Bush was they need some people on the ground making noise, right? John McCain didn't do that because he shunned Tea Party folks. He was like, get your crazy selves up out of here, right? So everybody else found the folks that are making enough noise, right, who can hate the rest of the establishment, who can hate minorities, who can hate those guys will come out with signs and paint Confederate flags on the back of their trucks. Like, those dudes were activists. But rich people don't have activists. So they tapped into hate to have some people on the ground, right? Because the leverage that they were getting, think about it from a standpoint of hate, right? People who hate other folks, they don't necessarily support you more than they support your policies for making the people suffer who they don't like.
Oh, wow.
So the much more rabid Trump is, the more that the people who hate love Trump, right? And you know who had an interesting cartoon on this? I think the Simpsons did this years ago, where in that cartoon they flew a Fox helicopter in front of the camera, right? And it says, Fox isn't racist, it is just the home of racists. Right, like they're capitalizing
on Fox,
and that,
you know, the Simpsons, they're on Fox.
Fox. Yeah. I know I have an image of it. I'll send that image to you. But it just rolls in front of the camera. It's not. Fox is not racist. It's the home of racists. They found out that you can make money off of hate.
Right.
So Plus, they need that on the Republican side because numerically, there are twice as many Democrats in this country than there are Republicans.
Right.
That's why it's always a misnomer, like when you see horse races, and it's like the polls say that this is close. They're polling the same people. They're polling the people with landlines. You know, like they're not getting
right.
out in actual polling. So those numbers are always going to look the same because you are essentially seeing if people change their mind from last time, right? And so they're voting party lines more than they're voting for Trump or against Trump. So we keep getting those, just in basic analysis, we're kind of getting it wrong so that nobody can see this onslaught coming. Because it doesn't benefit the Nielsen ratings of television or media stations to have a blowout.
Yeah.
It doesn't benefit them.
Plus the rich folks know that in 2025, their tax breaks run out. So that's
right.
what they're going to do.
Right.
They know
right.
that.
So that's why the Supreme Court acts with such urgency. They know it's not sustainable to sustain all of this conservatism because most people in this country is not like that. So soon
right.
as the Republicans get in control, Mitch McConnell's like, I'm going to suspend the rules and put these four conservative justices up there, right? They will bend the rules, but Democrats will not break rules. But Republicans will in a minute just to keep their agenda going. So we're going to end up with a conservative Supreme Court, and the rest of the country is not going to even be close. But they're going to keep regulating us until them fools die off in another 50 years. Like, they're trying to take it backwards. But like I said, it's not possible.
It's definitely not possible. So, Vanessa, it's an excellent topic you brought to the table. Appreciate you, girlfriend. Appreciate you. Any final thoughts on the topic that you brought to the table?
Just sick of Trump.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a mic drop moment. I'm just sick of Trump. I can't wait. Mr. Our listener from Texas Arcana, I hope he's listening because, boy, I love when he tunes in and chimes in with his comments on Donald Trump. All right, folks, it is time for our first Mariana Music Corner break. We'll be right back after this, 347-850-1272.
Oh, those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them. Beat them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Let's get a little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad today.
All those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much.
Like a
online radio at its best.
Welcome back at 347-850-1272. It is 7 minutes after the top of the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network. It's the Sunday Morning Roundtable where my fam, they bring their topics to the table. And it's always interesting when Mr. Jerome is on the clock because you never know. Sometimes he gives you a topic, sometimes he doesn't. So let's see what happens this morning. Jerome, what are we talking about, sir?
Yes, sir. All right, so here's what we're talking about. You went so far back in the music that you just played, I'm mad that you didn't play Sister Sledge. Play somebody from that era I want to listen to. I mean, I like the song and all, I'm just saying. But, you know, that is my only stop, guys. I can send you a ton of old Stevie that I would like to hear, but that's a whole other story. But all right,
it's okay. So we get the LES.
You get
the vibe. We'll get him in.
All right,
thank you. Right. What's going on, brother?
All right, yeah. LES, put LES on the clock. I'm good.
Well, it's I do see. That's what I'm saying. You never know. It's like it's a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get when it's this time. You know, something that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. What'd you say? I thought you were trying to talk. Oh, is that Mr. Elias? Man, is it?
Yeah,
me?
His mic keeps going out.
Yeah, it's going out. So listen, this past week, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tennessee has now signed a bill that allows teachers to carry guns in the classroom. And I have to be perfectly honest with you all and our listening audience. I don't know how to feel about this. Because on one hand, being a former military person, when you have the weapon, when you have a weapon in the hands of a person that's not accustomed to handling a weapon, they can be more dangerous than the perpetrator. But on the other hand, if teachers had weapons in some of these school shootings, who knows what would have happened? So I'm confused on this. And I'm just going to throw it out there and to see if other people are as confused as I am. Because you have some people that's on the hard left saying, no, they should not have weapons in school. Our teachers are there to educate. They're not there. They're not the police. They're not a peacekeeping force. They are there to teach our children. But then you have people that's on the hard right saying, hey, listen here, man. Arm up. Hey, the only person that can stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. So I'm confused. So anyone can take this one. I don't know how I feel about this. It's almost like my stance on the death penalty, right? You know, so anyone has anything to say about this at all? Are you guys conflicted like me? Or, okay, Mr. Elliott, it sounds like you have something to say. Go ahead.
Conflicted at all, man. What I'm waiting on is the first time one of these students, unarmed one of these teachers, has started shooting.
Ooh, see, there you go.
I'm waiting on. Because now you've conflicted the problem by bringing guns into school. You're trying to alleviate. So what do you do to alleviate guns in school? You bring more guns into school.
But wait a minute. But let me ask you this. But let me ask you a question. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. If you are a school teacher in a class, and you know yourself, we would, listen, and I'm putting a little bit of our business out there in the street. When we used to ride around town, man, we were packing. When we used to go to an ATM.
I'm packing when I ride around town.
Well, yeah, I know you are, but I'm just, yeah, well, of course. But what I'm saying is that it's, you know, we say this all the time. I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. So if you're a school teacher in a school district that you know these kids, like my partner, he works at an alternative school. Now, I'm not sure how they're, I don't know what they call them in other states, but Texas, they're alternative schools, and basically they're school jail. So all the bad kids go to this school. And all these kids that are in these schools are drug dealers. They are bad kids. And there's nothing for you. They have to walk through metal detectors to get in class. So if you worked in an environment like that, I mean, I'm like, okay, but dang. I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
So in essence, what you're saying is that saying that your partner works in this school, right? And it's a bad school with full of bad kids, right?
Yeah.
Give all these teachers guns to deal with all these bad students. What are students going to do?
I don't know, man.
You got a gun?
I don't know if they're going to give them to all the students, all the teachers. I don't know that. I think maybe it's
In Tennessee, all the teachers are armed. All the teachers are armed in Tennessee. It's not one. It's not specific. It says all teachers can be armed. And you know what they did this for? Keep teachers in school instead of paying them more money.
But what does that have to do with someone's safety, though? I mean, if you work in an environment where you know there's a possibility. Go ahead, Mr. West.
What you do is you put officers in there. You put more than one in there.
Look at what happened in Uvalde, Texas. You had the damn cops standing out there for an hour and some change where kids were being killed. So what are you talking about? That ain't working.
It does work in some instances. And in some instances, it does work. What about the one that stopped the shooter before he even started?
Listen, I'm on your team. I'm just saying I'm conflicted by it. Because if I worked, I know if I'm in a neighborhood where I know that there's a strong possibility of crime, guess what? If you pat me down, I got something on me. Because I got to protect myself. Self-preservation is the key. Damn all the kids. I don't want to die. I want to go home and see my parents, see my kids.
Anyone that knows me knows that I have guns playing around my house.
That's for damn sure. Sure do. Don't drop your purse in his house because you may see a 9mm sitting under the couch.
My question even about that is...
Get to him. But I have a family picnic every year. I do when those family picnics come, I take those guns and I put them away.
Not all of them.
Why are they everywhere all over the house? Do you have those kind of people at your house?
But hey, you come after me, I'm going to get with you.
That's a lot of protection.
What I'm saying is when I got kids in my house, I take the guns and put them away. I pocket it to myself.
I'm saying that normally you have guns all over the house. Now, you don't have people in your house all the time. Okay, dude, can I finish my thought, man? Why are you yelling at me? I'm saying that you don't have people in your house 24/7. I guarantee you that if you had people in your house every day, then at some point you will work out a system where, okay, I'm not going to have them everywhere. I'm going to have them strategically placed so people can't find them because that defeats the purpose.
When my nephew would come and stay with me for the weekends, I would take my guns and put them away.
That's just the weekends, dude. I'm talking about you're talking about a job. If you worked a job, Mr. Elias, and you know damn well that there's a good possibility that you're going to get robbed, then it's like, hey, do I rely on Barney the security guard to protect me, or do I, protect myself? I don't know what the right answer is.
The deal, man. You have to. How about spending some money in the education system instead of just passing kids along? Put the money into education.
Listen, I agree with that because they are actually doing that. I know a friend that's a teacher, and he tells me that they are forced. And that is disturbing. First of all, this guy shouldn't even be a teacher in the first place. Like, dude, the kids are smarter than your ass. Why are you in the classroom? So that's one thing. But second of all, the fact of the matter is that they're telling them that in order for them to receive funding, they have to graduate a certain X amount of students. And so they're pushing some of these students through. It's really sad, to be honest with you. It's a sad situation.
Spend money on education, which is what Tennessee is doing. What if Tennessee, instead of getting quality teachers and spending more money to get people that are qualified, what they do to say, hey, for the teachers to feel safe because they're leaving in abundances because of Tennessee, we'll give you guys. Here you go. Here's some guys to take to school.
Hey, man.
Vanessa, that law.
Okay, fine. Vanessa, how do you feel about this? Because, once again, I'm conflicted because, on one hand, who am I to tell a person that they shouldn't have the ability to protect themselves if they are in an environment where that possibility can happen? And then we think about what happened in Uvalde, Texas, I should say, where you had the police there. You had another situation where they – what was the guy? We talked about this a year ago. What school district was that where the resource officer ran? and they ended up – he ended up getting charged. So the people that's supposed to protect you, you know, they scared. They want to get home to their families. So how do you feel about this? What side do you come down on this?
Well, I guess the bottom line is with it is if you are afraid, like those cops were who were peeping around the corner as that boy was shooting those children and they were calling their parents one by one saying, send help, why are they not helping us? If you are afraid for your life where you're not going to save somebody else's life and you're going to peep around the corner, you need to turn in your shield and your gun, and you need to find another job, or you need to be a Walmart security guard driving around in a car. That's where I am with that, because a lot of them are. I think they really are, Jay, afraid for their life, and they're showing it by not saving these kids that's getting killed. Now, as far as these people who have all of these guns and stuff around them, like Les, I understand that Les puts them away when there's children, but I guess my question was that never got answered was, do you have that many people in your life that you have to have that many guns stashed all under this sofa, that sofa, so if you move at any count, you can put your hands on a gun? Do you have those kind of people even in your life where you need guns stashed all over your house? Now, if you collect guns because you think they're pretty and all of these different convention things you say you go to, that's one thing. But I don't get when you have a circle around you where you have to have a gun to this cushion, that cushion behind that. So, no, I don't understand a lot of it.
So I'm just prepared, Vanessa. I just want to be prepared in case you come. Because, you know, I live in a decent neighborhood. I do. But somebody comes, there's always going to be a break-in. Where you live at? You can live in the most richest neighborhood. Look at what's happening in California with these movie stars and these celebrities. They're getting their houses broken into. So,
yeah.
Am I gonna run to go get a gun? No, I'm a fool where I gotta go. Get right at you. If you come in my house, I'm gonna get right at you. That's what I am.
Okay.
Feel bad about it afterwards.
What about you, Jerome? Man, where do you land on this?
I don't think that it's going to make anybody safe by having teachers have guns in the classroom or guns on them, because once one of those students, because I don't know if you remember all the stories that I've done with teachers messing with students. Once the teachers get too friendly with students, they're going to have access to their guns. And the first student that gets injured because of a teacher's gun, you're going to want to sue the teacher. But law allowed them to bring them in there, so this is going to get ugly before it gets any better. I don't think you're going to save anybody by having them in there. I think this is just a reactionary thing that people do to combat school shooting, opposed to holding the school officers accountable. Put a policeman in your school. Do some other things. But all of the teachers being armed just means that the students have access to guns where they can't even have access with them at home. Right, because the parent will get arrested if the student unlawfully brings their gun to school. But you don't need to bring a gun to school now that you know the teachers have guns. You just need to figure out where the teacher is stashing a gun, and you can just take their gun. Let's see how that works out.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting
it. I'm just saying that that's going to be another problem. You can see that coming a mile away.
Yeah, you guys have brought up some excellent points, man. That's something. You're right. You can't see that coming a mile away. And I talked about this before when you had people, you know, you have these people run. I see it all the time. I'd be at Home Depot and all these old men walking around with their little guns holstered. I said, you know what? It'll take one joker to bust him aside his head and taking to bust him in his ass with his own gun. I mean, some of these people shouldn't be carrying weapons. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's they don't feel secure. I have no idea why they walk around with their weapons holstered the way they do. It's just this cowboy mentality that we have in America. And like you said, you know, it's a matter of time before these kids figure out how to get them damn weapons off these folks and just, you know, take them and shoot them with their own mess. And we've had cases of that before where old man got his gun taken from him when he got shot with it. It's just stupid. All right, folks, 347-850-1272. It's time to step out. Part two of our music, Mariana Music's Corner, coming up next. We'll rap and clap with you in about 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's the Serious Side on a beautiful Sunday, 347-850-1272. Thank you. Appreciate you. We'll be right back.
Let's go to my place. 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 Let
Online radio at its best.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272. 347-850-1272. It is the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio. At its best, I just want to say something real quick before I bring my family in. Folks, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for spending a portion of your day with us. It's time for us to say good morning again to my fam and to y'all. Vanessa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, everybody, for the prayer. We're all here with our bright, shining faces.
Oh, got it, Vanessa. Got it. I'm going to get one in before the show for you. I got you. My main man, Mr. Jerome Spree, my brother from another mother's in the house. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm outstanding, man. So listen, do we get a tease? Are we doing something? Or do we have a show coming up after this show? Or what's up? Talk to me.
We can rock a little something, so we'll have some news for you at the top of the hour.
Good. It's always good, something. Folks. Tell you what, a lot of people comment on that, and I need to start pulling this stuff during the week. But comment on your news show, man. It's good stuff, man. We love when Jerome brings the noise because he always tailored the news for us. It's almost like the online radio show version of the Griot. Love it, Jerome. Can't wait to hear you in about 30
I'm
minutes.
So,
man. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's for damn show. That is for damn
yes.
show. You are absolutely correct. You are better than the Griot. I love it. The man who gets the first and last word here on the serious side, the one and only Mr. Elias. Man, good morning to you, sir.
Man, good morning. Good morning to you and Juan. Good morning, Lessa. Todd. Good morning, Momo B. Todd. Good morning, Kathleen. Todd. Good morning, Red Dea. Todd. Good morning, Rich Sister. Todd. Good morning, Mary the Music. And Mary the Music, that first song was You Make Me Feel Like Dancing. And it's by Leo Sayer. And the last song was My Place, and that was by Jaguar Wright. Good morning, my brother Hulk. And good morning, my brother Jerome.
Mr.
Sir.
L to the E to the S, can we say good morning to anyone in the world famous chat?
Brother Covina Man's in there with us.
It's my dog, man. That's my dog. Hey, Covina Man, appreciate your comments too, man. I got a place for you. When you're in Houston, I got a place for you. Come on down. Want to say what's up to the pastor. What's happening, Pastor? What's up, Felicia? What's going on, Terry? What's happening? Oh, Mister's in the house. Mister, you my new, well, you're not my, well, everyone's my favorite. Let me be careful here. But Mister, I love your comments. Brandy, Michelle, Cynthia, so many people. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's about time for you to go post your comments. I'm going to start pulling them. You know me. I start pulling them during this break in the next. So, hey, if you want to be heard, you can call or you can post your information and we'll read it during the Pastor Steve's State Your Case portion of the show. It's the Sunday morning roundtable where our distinguished panel bring their topics to the table. And as always, Mr. Jerome is free, man, put us on the mark. So I had to come up with something for him. But we can continue to rock. Jerome, you sure, man, you don't want to throw something out here, man?
No, you got it. I know you're going to rock. Elias didn't go. That's
what you got, Mr. Elias? Yeah, he did. What's up, Mr. Elias?
Case. But just immunity case. When the Supreme Court was playing games with the immunity case.
You know what, man? That's scary. That's scary. And let me tell you something. You know the thing that really pisses me off is that I understand that the Biden campaign has to talk about there's only one man to blame for the abortion that's going on. It's Donald Trump because he's running against Donald Trump. I beg to differ, sir. The one man that we should blame is this guy.
I told President Obama that he was going to be a long-term president.
That guy, he is the guy we should be blaming. He's the one that didn't allow President Obama to put his Supreme Court justice nominee. They didn't even meet with him. So, damn Donald Trump. Mitch McConnell is the guy. Well, you know what? We can blame her, too, because she should have retired. She should have retired. I still don't understand. You know, a lot of times we are in these predicaments because of people's egos. Why she didn't step down, I have no idea. I have no idea.
She thought Hillary Clinton was going to win, So she wanted Hillary Clinton to put her in the office. That's why she did that.
That's true. That's true. She wanted to do it under her. Yeah, well, we were all bamboozled by that. That's for damn sure. But, wow, unbelievable. Unbelievable. But wait a minute, man. But hold on. Whoa. Wait a minute. She died during Trump's term in office.
Yeah.
So why didn't
because
she retire after
Obama? She held out on Obama's term because she, you know, I guess she felt like somebody else was going to come in, and she didn't want, I think, somebody more liberal. So now she got somebody real conservative. And, you know, wait a minute. What's her name again? I can't remember her name.
Who? Ginsburg?
The person that died. Ruth Ginsburg. And she's the one who actually ruled on a case in New York State that upheld, you know, the doctor of discovery, the doctor of discovery saying that Native people don't own any land until white folks actually say they recognize their land first.
What?
She wrote the opinion on that. She wrote that in 2005. Yes. She is the person who wrote the opinion
that
says, yes, the doctrine of discovery came through the Catholic Church. The Pope denounced it earlier this year, saying that we were wrong for that. But our laws reflect that, which means that if white folks don't acknowledge that something exists, I don't care if it's the deers, the trees, whatever, white folks can claim it. That's how they conquered every place on this planet, by acting like Native people who lived there didn't count. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg held that up. So every time they say how great she is, it reminds me of the fact that we have not come far enough in learning history.
Wow. I did not know that. I did not know that. Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah, for some reason in this country, we like our Supreme Court people to be really conservative and crazy.
Wow.
Because remember, Obama wanted to put in Garland. Garland didn't charge Trump for like 2 years, 2.5 years. He held back on charging Trump with all the stuff that's going on now.
But let me ask you something, though. But let me ask you this, though. Well, I guess you just answered the question. I was thinking, now, was it a situation where he was thinking, look, we need to make sure that we have a rock-solid case because we know what type of massive effect this is going to have once we bring it to the table? So you're thinking that they already had this evidence in place, and so they should have, you know, moved on this sooner than later.
Right. But we make decisions on this straw man white person, right? We don't want people to feel. We don't want white folks to believe. We can't teach history because we don't want our kids to feel like they do this straw man stuff all the time. But the truth is the truth. So if it was one of us, you just take, they take your butt to jail and then say, we'll sort this out in court. If you are not guilty, you'll win, right? So that's what everybody else does, except for when it comes to a certain segment of the population. We don't want people to think. We don't want folks to feel like they do that all the time. And Garland was conservative. That's why Obama picked him, because he thought they can put him past Mitch McConnell and those guys. So he wouldn't have put Ketanji Jackson up there. Obama would never have done that, because he was trying to pacify, you know, people who were conservative.
Let me ask you something
about
her, though. Let me ask you something about her, man. Because I've heard her say some things in some of these briefs, and I'm thinking, oh, what's up with you? Do you get that same feeling sometimes, or no?
To who? About who?
About, was it Ketanji Brown?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, again, you're playing inside of a system. And so to make it to that level, you're going to probably think a little bit. Nobody's going to be, you know, you're not going to put Judge Joe Brown on the Supreme Court, right? Like, it's not going to go that far.
Yeah.
So the best that we can do sometimes is stop somebody from actively trying to hurt us. That's, like, literally the best that we can do. We can't have anybody side with us or look out for our interests. Just stop trying to kill us. And sometimes we just go for that route. And that's, you know, I mean, I know it's sad, and it sounds like we don't have hope, which the truth is, this is not going to harm us in the long term, But they needed to get somebody in that space that wasn't, you know, a standard bearer, somebody who was holding it down for, you know, for everybody else. Because we can say this about when we talk about Kamala, about her, about anybody black who actually makes it that far up, usually have a spouse that's not black. And that, I don't know what to say about that. I'm not making
I said that a few years ago.
Right. I'm not making any judgment on that, but we have to ask the question legitimately, why is that a thing? Right? Like, we have to ask the question. So I'm not answering it, but I'm saying you tell me. Why is it that you have to still have the interest of people who don't look like you to even be in the space of the people who don't look like you?
You know, I tell you, the listeners ate me up on that too, boy, when I brought it up. I said, oh, hey, look,
Yeah, we're not making a judgment on it. We're just telling you that it's blaringly obvious to us, and we can't sit and ignore it like it's not happening. That's why the kids. That's why kids are not listening to nobody right now. You're lying to them in their face. But you expect them to follow you while you're lying. They ain't doing it.
Yeah, and like Jerome said, I mean, listen, I know a lot of people who are biracial, and you know, God bless them. I don't have anything against anybody. To be honest with you. Unless, you know, you bring harm to me and my family or to my race or my people. But yeah, that's noticeable. That's very noticeable.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, it is noticeable, but I'm saying we have to call that out because not because we want to make somebody feel one way or another. It's just because it's blaringly obvious, and every time as a community, we keep our mouths shut. People think, oh, yeah, y'all getting along with this because y'all ain't saying anything. But once we say something, you get mad. You can't get mad, right? We're just pointing out the obvious. Is there something to that? Is there something to the fact that the people followed Frederick Douglass a little bit differently after his first wife died and he had a white wife? He was invited to the White House. You know what I mean? Like, that, there is something in the pathology that says that you...
I didn't even know that. Wow.
It's something that shows that you have to have fealty to white folks at some point for them to be fully acceptance of you. And I think that now, you know, we have changed as a society because of, you know, the diversity a little bit. But it's still really hokey, you know, that folks don't take black families as, like, legitimately American or, you know, a part of the fabric or something. There's something in there that we need to ask questions about.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's why when you have think tanks that have, you know, people have start to debate this stuff, I think it doesn't serve you well to have folks sabotage what black people think so that white folks feel better about themselves. It is not about you. You know,
well, let me ask this question, because sometimes, and you know, and this is not, I just want to get everybody's opinion on this, because a lot of times when people do things in Congress, especially if they're Republicans, I think the first thing that we do as African-Americans is like, well, they're doing this because we're black. And so is it a situation where we're jumping the gun on that? Because, like, for example, Speaker Johnson, right? Speaker Johnson, everyone knows who he is. You know, he was a backbencher for the longest. Then all of a sudden he's in power, and now he's, you know, the reason. Now all of a sudden Marjorie Taylor Greene and all these guys want him out of office because he decided to push this bill through because, you know, it's like anything else. You know, when you're chasing a car, a dog can always be effective, but when you catch the car, what do you do once you catch the car? And so a lot of people look at this guy and say, well, you know what, yeah, he's against black people, but here's something that I did not know, that he was a huge fan of John Lewis, that he wanted, I mean, he was so mesmerized by this man that he made it a point to make sure that his kids took pictures with him. He really loved John Lewis. I would have never, ever, ever thought that about Speaker Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was mesmerized by John Lewis, but as soon as Trump told him to kneel down, guess what he did?
But see, I hear you, Mr. Ellis, but see, you're playing it to that narrative that I'm talking about. So does that mean he's a racist? He don't like black people?
What it means is he ain't got a spine. That's what it means.
Well, okay, I'm with you on that. But what I'm saying is that a lot of times people who support Trump, we say, oh, yeah, support, you know, Trump's a racist. So you support this guy, that means you're like him. But that may not necessarily be the case. Maybe they just support his policies. I don't know, man. It's just crazy.
Wait a minute. Who did you say like John Lewis?
Speaker Johnson.
Okay. Well, this is pretty easy, right? So who was it? Didn't John Lewis do, or Sharpton or somebody do Scarborough and Mika's wedding? One of them?
So that was
here's the thing.
That wasn't Lewis. Who was that? That was Elijah Cummings.
Elijah Cummings.
Yeah.
Right.
God rest his soul, man. Wow.
Yes. And so here is the thing. Just because you like one black person don't mean that you like black people. And favor somebody who's one of your peers.
Okay.
Because that's the dumbest thing that, when I see, you know, people like Joe Scarborough, you know, I watch Morning Joe, and I'm like, they are racist. Like, their perspective does not, it puts everybody back to uniform to hold up, you know, European values and agendas. That's all that is, right?
I see it completely different, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you do, because you're kind of brainwashed into that. But I just want to say that.
Whatever. Whatever. That's why Baskin Robbins has 33 damn flavors, Jerome.
Yep, because you added two more flavors. And I just want to tell you this.
You know what?
This is why you butt heads with LES so much. Because the issue is, this is not fair, Professor. You know what? I'm going to save this for the top of the hour. Don't laugh at me, Vanessa. I try to be nice until we get to this part of the show.
But you know what? I agree with you on that one little part you just said. I really do. I agree with you when you say, just because one person is black and they're your friend does not mean that you like all
black
people.
They like black people. Black people are so bilingual. Like, we're bilingual. Like, we actually are accepting the genus Solomon in us. We are compatible.
I do kind of agree with
that.
We can
flow. I know a lot of racist people, but I can tell you this, that it's not that they actually project that on me, right, because I will probably hurt their feelings, but more importantly, I understand where that's coming from in them. You know, like, people have images, and they grew up without knowing any black folks or whatever, so their preconceived notions has nothing to do with me. I sometimes feel sorry for them more than anything else, but that doesn't mean they're still not racist.
Joe whole panel, I don't think that Morning Joe is, he might not be all of black people's butt, but I don't think that Morning Joe is just racist and going to put people back in the fields for slavery. I don't believe that.
So we're not talking about the extreme parts of racism. There's like subtleties that keeps us oppressed. And some of those things, like, I don't know if you know the story with Tiffany Cross. When Tiffany Cross is on MSNBC, she said some things, and Joe Scarborough was one of the main ones who complained about her, because Tiffany was free enough to say
she worked 6 days a week. I don't know why they making Mika work 6 days a week, but they do. But that's his show. And if people tell you not to do something on that on their show, that's their show.
She wasn't on their show.
I'm not defending what happened to her. I'm not defending, but I can stand up there and make all the jokes in the world on Southwest Airlines airplanes when I was working there. But let me say something, and somebody write a letter, and they come back and say, Vanessa, you can't tell that joke no more. And then I get up there and tell that joke. Okay. Let's see what happens.
Right.
To me.
So to your point, they can be as racist as they want to. So I agree with you. It is their show. I don't think anybody should go on there. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So to your point, they do what they do, but they should not sell themselves. And I won't tell black folks, hey, go get your news from that particular news source. I won't do it, because they have a bias in them. And just because they play around with some black people when they feel comfortable with them, you know, Reverend Sharpton, nothing to besmudge him, or Reverend Sharpton or Eugene, what's his name, the writer from The Washington Post. Say it again.
I really like Joy.
Right, but again, Joy was, yes, I know, but Joy is the only person that stood up for Tiffany. Tiffany did not do anything other than say something about Tucker Carlson, and the network sent down a memo saying that you can't say anything about the Fox people no matter how much they talk about you. So when you hold down white supremacy, what you're doing is you're holding down an ideology and you're holding down the perception, right? We can talk about anything else but the blatant racism, which means you are holding it down for racism. If you're protecting it, you're protecting it. Right? So that's all I'm
saying. They check from somewhere else. So, yeah.
Well, you can
right.
You can find news. Well, yeah, you can find news any place, but all I'm saying is that I wouldn't believe their words for anything because they are holding it down for their folks. So we have to call it out when we see it. I can care less. I don't dislike any of them.
But Tiffany had a podcast, so she wasn't really throwing down getting a big paycheck from that podcast. So she kind of should have backed up a little bit if they told her not to do something because at least on MSNBC, she was getting a paycheck with some insurance.
They didn't tell her not to do something. They didn't like how she was going hard at people who were dismudging her. So between her and I forgot the woman who was on she and Tiffany has a podcast together. She was on CNN. And she was on the black woman, Angela Rye. They got kicked off because they was going too hard at it. And so who says that it's too hard? Some people can't hear the truth, is all I'm saying.
There you go. Speaking of news, we have an NPR news update coming up. Pastor Steve, state your case is coming up next. And my goodness, I'm looking at these comments. We'll talk in a few minutes. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Images from the scene of an explosion on a military base in southwestern Cambodia show a still smoldering building and soldiers receiving treatment in a hospital. Nearby residents have reported damage to their homes. The military says Saturday's blast killed 20 soldiers. It's not clear what caused the explosion. Harvey Weinstein is in a New York hospital this weekend. He was taken there from jail after his return to the city following an appeals court ruling that nullified his 2020 rape conviction. On Thursday, the New York Court of Appeals vacated Weinstein's conviction, ruling that the trial judge permitted too much evidence not directly related to the charges against him. A usually profitable genre of films is seeing a slump at the box office this year. NPR's Netta Ulavi reports that horror movies have yet to attract huge audiences in 2024.
This is strange, and for Hollywood, it's scary. At this time last year, the biggest hits in theaters included Megan, about a homicidal artificial doll, and Cocaine Bear, best summed up by its title. Horror films are famously cheap to make, and they reliably pull in fans. A horror movie's success can help studios bankroll other movies. This year's horror movies so far include Abigail, Night Swim, and Immaculate. None have lost money, but for a big crossover hit, theaters may have to wait until the summertime crop of creepy movies. Netta Ulibi, NPR News.
And I'm Charles Snyder. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/NPR.
All right, folks, it is time for Pastor Steve State Your Case, where we read comments from the world-famous chat room and from our social media sites that we monitor throughout the show. And let's start with the segment's namesake. He says, Pastor Steve says, peace and blessings, family. Miss Vanessa, the power of prayer is unmatched. It heals, comforts, and provides us with spiritual guidance and comforts that we need to defeat Satan's army. God bless you, and I am glad to hear that you're doing better. On another note, Mr. Elias, thanks for playing Leo Sayre hey, I wasn't always saved. I used to shake a tail feather every now and then. Smile, family. Y'all are the best. Yeah, I bet you did, Pastor. We want to see the video. Yeah, absolutely. Terry from San Antonio. Miss Vanessa, thank you for these updates. We are thinking about getting our mother hip surgery. Think about getting our mother hip surgery. So this information really helps. Get well soon, sister. All right. Brandy from Houston, Texas. God's got you. Glad to hear you're doing better. All right. Christina from Chicago.
Thank
LOL.
You.
LOL. LOL. Jay, what's the guy's name? LOL. What's she talking about? Oh, I know what she's talking about. Hey, Pecker. let's see. Sheila, Columbia, South Carolina. Mr. Bass be throwing shade at Jay. LOL. Jay, you have to get out of your feelings and fight back. Girl, shut up. Angela from Nashville, Tennessee. Get out of my feelings. I ain't in my damn feelings. I fight that fool all the time. Angela from Nashville, Tennessee.
He's so sensitive.
He's such a... let's see here. Angela from... Here we go. I'm so glad that this was the topic this morning. I'm a teacher, and I do feel unsafe in my school. I'm a liberal, and I do not believe in an armed society, but I would be lying if I say that the thought hasn't crossed my mind. Well, there you go, Angela. Let me read a couple more. Stanley, Kansas City, Mr. Elias's favorite football team's town. Good morning. Y'all took me back with the one music selection this morning, 70s Baby Forever. Great show. Thank you, Stanley. Lawrence from Chicago. Jerome is Soul Brother number one. Jay, how you like him now? LOL. Man, bump Jerome. Charles from Atlanta, Georgia. Jay, my dude, looks like you made it. I follow you on Instagram, my dude, and you were in those streets last night having a good... Shut up, Charles. You talk too much. All right, that's what the end of this segment is. Shut your ass up.
Online radio at its best.
I need to start reading these more often. I start reading and forget what some of these fools say. Yeah, anyway, thanks, Charles, for putting my business in the street. It's time for final thoughts, and I did have a damn good time last night. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's time for final thoughts. Sis, what's your final thought?
My final thoughts is that I'm just so grateful that I feel better today. I am so grateful I feel better today. And for those that the family that was talking about getting it for their mother, it'll be fine. The first 2 weeks, you go ahead and you get it. But y'all need to get some meals lined up. Y'all need to have somebody to stay in there on shift because she will not be able to stay at home and maneuver by herself the first 2 weeks. It's just not going to happen. So God bless y'all for praying for me. And I just love y'all, my family, all the way to New York up there with hard-headed Jerome. I just love y'all.
I've never heard it.
Okay.
All right. He ain't hard-headed. He's hard-headed because he's just so structured on, I don't know who will
laser.
Y'all get out of doing that and blah, blah. It's like,
focus.
What?
Yeah, there it is. All right. Well, speaking of Soul Brother number one, Soul Brother number one, man, final thoughts.
You know, I'm going to take this time to wish Vanessa well. You know, Vanessa, I have not been ignoring you, but I haven't, I didn't know what was going on. I think I was coming in too late on the show to know that you went through any kind of surgery or anything. So, you know, prayers and blessings to you, Vanessa. I did not ignored. It felt like I kept skipping over it because I didn't want to ask, what's going on with Vanessa? And, you know, I usually would send a text to Elias or somebody, but I did not know.
Always message me.
Yeah,
you
but I...
If you got my number, it's all good. You can start messaging me.
I could have asked. It is my... You know, I'm not nosy. So I'm like, if I didn't catch it with everybody else, I'm not going to be nosy and dig and ask. So that's my passive aggressiveness when it comes to people's business. That's my bad. But blessings.
Thank you. Smooches to you. Yes, it was a major surgery.
Okay, I'm with you. You're going to get a call from me now. All right.
All right. Debating is the first and last word. Final thoughts, Mr. Elias.
Well, hey, I want to say happy birthday to Vanessa's baby girl, Jessica. Happy
Yay!
Birthday. You get ready. Happy more. And, you know, like I always say, hey, Jessica, grab your friends and get out there and go vote. If you don't get out there and go vote, you don't have a voice. So you need to get out there and get your friends, get on your bicycles, and go get out there and vote.
She's living her best life, Les, in South America this weekend.
Oh, boy. I don't blame
him. Okay. Well, my final thoughts are I had a damn good time last night. I don't know what's wrong with me. I wait till I get this damn age, and I'm out here trying to hang with these young people. But it was a beautiful thing to see black people having a good time. I was like a fish out of water, but I immediately remembered who I was and who I used to be. And when I got out there and started doing my thing, it's like, oh my goodness. Like, yeah, I remember it. I remember it. I got out there and started doing my thing, boy. I was like, oh, damn.
You don't want to bring them back,
Jay. Friday and Saturday, baby.
Yes, sir. In the streets. In those Houston streets.
That's going to take you a month to recover. It's
going to
take you a month to recover. Oh,
man. 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, damn.
I was going to think... You was out after 10? Oh, man.
Yeah, it was.
Come on. Oh, yeah.
Man, put it on cruise control.
Woo! Like, I was glad.
Try to help you out. Take that as brotherly advice. I'm like, come on, man, pull it back, Jay. I have to pull you off tables. Fighting bouncers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What do you mean you ain't gonna let me in? There you go, Jay.
Elias, if it's Sunday, man, what time is it, dog?
Time for the serious side of the Jay Brown Show.
God bless you.
Take your ass
over there,
man. Stop going out at night.
Shut your ass up. Coming up next on the Needs and No Patience with Mr. Jerome. I hate y'all. Bye.
Five, four, three, two, one.
The First Lady dazzles on election night in a...
Tell me, what do you want me to do?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Folks, it is time for On a Need to Know Basis with my main man, Soul Brother Number One, Mr. Jerome Esprit. Jerome, man, what's going on, man? What you got going on today, man?
You know, I had a lot going on until I realized you had more going on this weekend than I had. I don't know why I can't let that go, Jay. That's a problem.
I know.
Look,
know wrong,
Jay,
man.
I just want to remind you that we are in the land of videotape, YouTube, TikTok, and Facebook Live. So you might want to be a little careful about bringing OJ back.
Woo!
Just
wanna...
It was
a bad thing.
That's why
it was a bad thing.
Let me tell you, that's why OJ is here today, because there was no Facebook and YouTube.
Man,
we're playing highlights of OJ around the clock.
I ain't messing with you, man. Y'all do y'all thing. Bye. I ain't messing with neither one of you.
No, we know you ain't going nowhere. All right.
Yeah, I'll be listening.
We know
you're going to make
a comeback in a minute. Elias, that's his recovery kicking in. He going to need that time to kick me. Kick back in about 20 minutes there, Jay.
Hey, man, bump you, Jerome. Bye.
All right, my bad. I just wanted to put that out there. All right, so... I'll go into our first story since it's weather-related. Now, the National Weather Service has warned weather conditions have increased wildfire risk in Delaware, Kentucky, Maine, Maryland, New Jersey, and New York, Pennsylvania, Vermont, Virginia, and West Virginia. They said low humidity and gusty winds has created the right conditions for fires to spread, to catch and spread.
Wow.
Last week I was in the Adirondacks, and they were like, no smoking outside. You cannot have anything close to fire outside because it will burn. The Adirondacks is the biggest national park in the country. So you can fit the Grand Canyon and Yosemite. The next four largest parks can fit in the Adirondacks in New York State. That's how big it is. So, yeah, we've been warned about how our wildfire risk. Say it again.
Is it that dry there?
It doesn't seem like it is. Well, yeah, it's just been drought. You know, we have 1/3 of the world's drinking water in this area. And so we, and it snowed a little bit last weekend. I was there this past weekend, and it just rained a little bit and it snowed, and they still have that weather advisory because that ground is just going to soak it up. So, no, it's not. It hasn't been really dry, but apparently the conditions are ripe for, with the gusty winds, that if something catches on, embers catch on fire, they'll just float to the next tree and set that thing on fire. But no, it's not. Right. It's not California dry. And, okay. And the irony is California is not as dry because their weather patterns has changed, and they are worried about, yeah, you know, rains and flooding. So they're on the opposite side of that. No, we have plenty of water up here, but just some areas, because we have a lot of wooded area, so it takes up a lot of water. Yep. So, yeah, so that's all the way down to, I guess this is all of the East Coast, from Maine to Maryland, you know, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, all of them, Vermont. All right, so in 2023 was Europe's joint hottest record, you know, hottest year on record. So joint just means them in 2020 was tied. So it's largely, they say, it's thanks to climate change. Europe's overall temperature last year was 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit above average, or that's 1 degree Celsius, if you can't do that European metric system stuff. Their climate change program has revealed that, and they put them on par with 2020. They worried that temperatures on the continent were higher than average for 11 months of the year, including the warmest September on record. 2023 saw the number of days with extreme heat stress was this year, and the heat was so severe that it impacted human well-being and often fatality. So here's what I want to say in comparison to this weather advisory in the United States. If you look at Europe is, New York State is probably in line with Italy, kind of, for latitude and longitude, but the Earth kind of tilts, you know, a little bit to the left, so they are that much higher than us. So Europe is about as high as Ottawa, Canada. So if you know anything about geography, and if you go look at your map, use a Peter's projection map if you want to see the actual layout of the Earth. But they are farther north than us. And if they are having the hottest year on record, we have problems. They're literally in the snow belt. They're Ottawa, Canada latitude as far, you know, in comparison to New York. You know, I had this I used to do this quiz with people when you ask them, like, what is the closest state to Africa? Do you know what the closest state to Africa is, to the continent of Africa? Elias, did I lose you? Huh?
Oh, shit.
Where would you guess? Which one?
Egypt.
No. The closest state to the continent of Africa is Maine. Can you believe that? That's how skewed our view is of the Earth. Yeah, it's Maine. that the shortest distance, yeah, between the continents. But the south part of Africa, mostly all of South America is actually east of Florida. That's why South America is closer to the continent of Africa. But if you ever want to see this, I'm talking to the listeners, you can check out a Peter's projection map. But the cold continent of pretty much South America is east of Florida. We keep thinking that it's right up under us, but it's actually on the other side of Florida. So, yeah, it's skewed. So it doesn't surprise me that we're having problems with heat and wildfire stuff, and they are having dry climate in Europe. Because, again, you know, when we were talking about this earlier with perceptions, when we have a skewed skewed view of where we live on this planet, then technically all of your senses are a little bit off. But, yeah, Europe is having that problem as well. Now, state offices across Mississippi will be closed on Monday. They are observing Confederate Memorial Day. I just want to say that again. Mississippi,
wow,
along with Alabama and South Carolina, all recognize Confederate Memorial Day. So they close their offices,
wow,
closing offices on May 22nd and May 10th, respectively, for Alabama and South Carolina. Other states, including Florida, North Carolina, and Georgia, still enshrine the holiday in their state law, but they no longer close their offices in observance. Now, again, that's kind of treason, right? They tried to rebel against the,
yeah,
United States. They lost. And we,
yes,
have state officials celebrating the people who rebelled against the country that they swore an oath to protect.
Wow.
This is like a bad Twilight Zone episode, isn't it?
That
like
is.
They think, yeah, they think that there's some pride in the fact that, you know, that they get to celebrate the fact that their ancestors committed treason and,
well, they were treason.
I think,
yeah.
Yeah. And just because Ulysses S. Grant,
treason.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we should call it, like a Confederate treason day with the Confederacy. Let's make
treason
it look
day.
Like
that's
it's a regular
right. Treason day.
Right, right. And so it's interesting though that we still kind of think of that as being a culture. Being South and being a Confederate is not a culture. It was an army that rose up against the United States. But nobody...
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know, we don't celebrate the Trail of Tears because that was something that the United States imposed on somebody else. But what if all people indigenous started celebrating days that was like, we need to commemorate those days that y'all were foul. Right?
Right.
So, and anyway, Ulysses S. Grant let them off the hook. They chose not to throw all of those fools in jail. They chose to let them go back home. They took their weapons. Matter of fact, I think they let them keep some caliber weapons, but they let them go back home after they were caught. And so they started imposing laws in the South because the United States was trying. Again, it's like watching Morning Joe. Is that just because they're not acting racist, they still are holding it down for people who are racist, right? So they take pride
wow.
in it. It's weird, to, again, to look at it from that. I'm not asking anybody to be liberal. I don't really believe in any of those, like, particular labels per se. But we need to understand that the reason that people don't want you to learn any accurate history is because the way that you look at yourselves may change. We're always worried about, you know, white folks' perspectives of themselves. And it's like, just tell the truth. You get to make that decision a little bit later. Yeah. Because remember, we talked about that before with, what was it? I can't remember what it was. But if you look at the Peters projection map,
yeah,
or any of those, it will change the way you view the place that you live. You'll find out that the earth that you've been living on, GPS will tell you where everything is located. But the way you learn where the countries are, it's a skewed illustration so that you can learn the European countries and it puts Europe in the center of the map. It makes you think that white folks are the center of the world. But those guys, they did it on purpose.
They got Africa as a small country. But then they got Iceland big as hell. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So as big as Greenland is, and, you know, Russia and those guys
yeah.
are tiny, but they're so far north, you know, that they don't have the resources. That's why, you know, Portuguese and the Spanish and Europe, that's why France, those guys are colonizers because they don't have any natural resources up there. So they went and stole everybody
yeah,
else's and said,
all.
Yeah.
I heard about what Africa, I mean, what France did to Africa, I thought that was disgusting. You know?
Yeah, they're
they
still fighting them.
Africa's resources. Yeah. You're taking all Africa's resources and doing whatever you want to these people, and then you act like there's something wrong with you. I just don't get it.
Right, and I don't know why this hurts anybody's feelings to know that, right, is to say people have the right of self-governance. So if you really believe in freedom, you would just leave other people alone. But that's not what we promote. We're just pretty much saying you have the freedom up under our system that we can buy you or, you know, rich people get deference, that kind of thing, right? So someone, I got a text during the first show about the Harvey Weinstein being thrown out, right? But Harvey Weinstein's case in California still stands, so he got 19 years, I think, under that one. The one that was in New York, that was 23 years, was kind of thrown out on a technicality, but they can retry him. They probably won't because he has health issues, because you know how this go down. Then they'll probably release him because he's not doing well, and then he'll be running the streets like he always did. So that's why Trump kind of understands that, and they keep stalling and asking about technicalities because they can delay that trial. You know, the New York guy is not playing. That New York judge is not playing. That's why he's actually in court every day, is because in New York, they're not playing with him. So if he's convicted, the appeal will take so long. It may even take a couple years because they know how to work a system. Right? So Harvey Weinstein. Go ahead.
I was thinking of it when I was listening to one of the judges say on the gag order, she would do what she was like, I would hold him as a stay, and then when the trial is over, I'd put his ass in jail. I'm like, sounds good to me.
Right. Right, because if they find him in contempt, even if he's released, he's going to have to serve the time for contempt of court. And that would be something if they would pull that off. Yeah, that would be interesting. I'm glad we don't have Oprah or Gayle King on the show today, but the Seventh Circuit upholds R. Kelly's child sex conviction. So the Federal Appeals Court also this week upheld his 20-year sentence that he received. Did he just get that in 2023? Jeez. All right, well, it seemed like he'd been in for a while.
Yeah, he's been in for a while.
Yeah, but his sentence was in just last year. Jeez, and it is for sex trafficking. So, yeah, but his attorney said that they will appeal it, and they have every right to appeal it. So I wouldn't expect, you know, R. Kelly to be out anytime soon, but I wouldn't expect him to be in there 20 years either. Yeah, because that's pretty much how the system works. When you have money, technically, there are technicalities that they'll be able to at least reduce time to a large degree. It is, you know, people who go to jail for, like, stealing a slice of pizza who will be in there for 20 years because they don't have attorneys to do this kind of stuff with them. Yep. So, you know, there's a Microsoft Windows. If you actually have a computer, Microsoft Windows, they're going to be even a little bit more annoying than usual because if you have Windows 11, the start menu will now have ads on it. So there's a way you can disable it, but everybody's getting into the ad game to start charging people. I mean, they're going to start subliminally giving you ads anyway. So if you have Windows 11, they're going to start putting ads up. You know, so we didn't talk about this. I don't know if you talked about it on a show before I got on, but did we talk about the TikTok ban?
No, we didn't.
Yeah. No. So in the last approval for funding of Ukraine and Israel and all these other things, they tagged on an addendum that will ban TikTok, and it's given it, I think it's something like 90, no, I think it's like 6 months or 9 months. It's given an amount of time that the Chinese government has to, or the Chinese company has to divest from TikTok, or it'll be banned, which means it'll just be taking off of the Google.
9 months.
9 months, yes. So they're going to regulate the time. Like, if they ban it, that just means you can't get it from the app stores. So I assume that everybody's going to get it in the black market. Like, they're just going to directly download it from TikTok. But there's no law that says that you can't have TikTok. It's just that they can't sell TikTok, or they cannot deliver it through our regular channels. Now, that's expected to be tied up in court for years, too. So here's what I want to say about that, because anytime I'm asked about this, it makes me think that Google collects more data than TikTok does on you. But are you happier that it's Chinese people or people in the U.S. getting your data? Isn't that weird?
What they're trying to say is that it's downtown and all this other stuff. I'm like, man, stop it.
Right.
Somebody wants to get rich off that, and that's what that is.
Right. So they're expecting, who has this stuff? Elon Musk or some. There's other, not Snapchat, but there's other apps that's like TikTok, and people are starting to heavily invest in that so that they can become the next best thing. But TikTok, it's a shame. I think they only own, the company that they're asking to divest only owns like 5% of it. But the rest of TikTok is owned by American companies. There's an American subsidiary. That data isn't even stored in China. But they were saying that there's a back door that they're able to look at people's data. But so is Google. That's why those ads are targeted. Or Alexa is listening to you. So when you say, Alexa, wake up, it turns on. Well, it had to be listening for you to be able to tell it to wake up. So it's interesting how we make, we demonize some things at the same time. We're doing twice as bad as they are. So anyway, for people, TikTok has 9 months to divest. I don't think they're going to do it. I wouldn't. If I develop the technology, you think you can tell me you're going to have to sell this to somebody else. You can't have it. But here we are. We're in that mode. Now, PepsiCo has recalled 2,801 cases of its mug root beer because it actually contains zero sugar root beer. So they're saying the affected cans were shipped out to 6 states, and the FDA announced that PepsiCo has voluntarily recalled the cases of the mug root beer, and the cans actually contain zero sugar root beer. So it's the complete opposite. Like, they were like, it don't have any sugar in it, so we're going to have to take this back. So the findings were discovered through an internal investigation. FDA reports that there was 2,801 affected cases. They were shipped to Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. So if you happen to drink root beer, which I have not in years, I don't know what you can do. You could open your can and take it back and say there's this has NutraSweet or something in it. But, yeah, so they announced that. Now, the flu season has appeared to come to an early end, according to officials, and this season was unusually mild compared to previous years. So the CDC data shows that for 3 straight weeks, the reports of flu-like illnesses have been below the threshold for an effective flu season, which normally officially ends in May. Other indicators like hospitalization and patient testing are also low or declining, with no state reporting a high or very high number of flu cases. So it suggests that the 2023 to 2024 flu season is now over. Now, don't get that twisted from COVID season, right? COVID is flu-like symptoms, but these are two different things. And I'm not, for years, didn't have really bad allergies, but I am telling you, from people who I've talked to myself, our allergy season is kicking in. And so people who are having, like, a lot of congestion, even though flu is gone, allergies is just as, gets on your nerves just like everything else. There's not a lot of fatalities from allergies, but it's just irritating, those bad sinus headaches and stuff. But, yeah, flu season has come to an official end. Now, on that note, I have to go from one good news story to one bad one. Samples of pasteurized milk have been tested positive for remnants of the bird flu, the avian flu, which has already fell more than 90 million birds, thousands of seals, and several cattle. So this guy, Dr. Rick Bright, who's a virologist and a former director of the Department of Health and Human Services, revealed online, he said that he has concerns that the virus is, you know, could still be active in milk. And he said, having worked with this virus for nearly three decades, I've learned to respect it. It's, and it surprises. There's no assurances. Now, get this. Here's what bird flu is called. It's the H5N1. That's what that virus is. Whoa. You know, we have a bunch of H's. Yes. So concerns has been raised over this H5N1 in milk after it was detected in samples from grocery stores, including nearly 40% of milk sold at stores in Ohio has that H5N1 virus in it. They're saying it's low, but that virus is in it. So I wouldn't trust them. Change the almond milk. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you for people who drink milk, but anyway, yeah. But this guy, Dr. Rick Bright, said he's going to stop drinking milk because he said it's just too unpredictable right now. All right, now, I don't know why I'm doing this story. I usually save these stories till later in the show. But, you know, scientists are urging farmers to use urine to fertilize crops instead of synthetic fertilizer. They have developed and are experimenting with toilets that can be separate urine and convert to pellets. I don't know what this story is all about, but I'm just doing the news, people. I'm just telling you what's going on in the world. But they're suggesting that you should use it for fertilizer. I am not so sure. All right, Elias, I feel like you need to say something. Go ahead.
I'm like, hey, man. Wow. Now, it's bad enough that you're using mess on it to fertilize it. Now you're going to use both of them? That's next.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now,
you know.
Yeah. So here's what's disturbing me. I bet you they won't label stuff that's fertilized with urine. They're like, hey, these apples were fertilized with urine. Like,
wow.
I don't think that's going to be a good advertising or not just that, just... Yeah, this lettuce, never mind. So I'm going to go a bit far with this. All right, so Google has donated $75 million in releasing a course to teach people how to use artificial intelligence tools. This is a trap, people. So 1 week earlier, the company rolled back their protections for contract workers, and now they're saying they're donating $75 million to teach people how to use artificial intelligence. Now, okay, I know that's a news story, and I normally, you know, try not to give my opinion so much, but since I usually get asked these questions, I'm gonna inject my own opinion in this. Google is donating the $75 million so you can put your data into their system so they can figure out how you live. Don't fall for it. All that information that you give them, they're going to own. So they're saying they're going to teach you how to use it so that you can put all of your own personal data in it and then blame China for you using TikTok. They're going to get you in their system. Yeah, thank you very much to Google. And, you know, Google, just so that you know, Google was actually funded by the military. So the two founders of Google, yes, the two founders of Google got their grants from the Defense Department and the Pentagon. To start Google, you can Google that if they didn't take it down, but yeah, that's where they got their funding from. So you think that the military and those guys don't have hooks in Google, and you're blaming the Chinese? They're doing that because Google is actually connected as well to the government. Google is your government. Just thought I'd share. I'm only doing the news. All right, so a first new antibiotics for UTIs in 20 years have been approved to help millions of women who don't respond to other drugs. So the FDA has approved the drug. I guess it's T-Metacillium, I guess is what it's called. It's sold under the brand name Piva. So it's P-I-V-Y-A. For uncomplicated UTIs is what they're saying, meaning that the infection is contained within the bladder and has not spread to the kidney. So there's a new antibiotic for UTIs. I won't tell you
Thank
to go
God
look up
for
the
that, because, man, that you know, tract infection, man, I had a cousin who, and they put her in a mental institution, didn't know what was wrong with her. And I said, you know, tract infection, treat it, she got out.
Yeah.
Like, man, I heard people say, I heard someone say some crazy things when they had tract infections, man. Like, crazy.
Yeah. Yep. Usually, you know, and again, this is not medical advice, but things like nettle leaf tea actually, you know, will help with urinary tract infections and actually prostate stuff. That's what I've read. So just want to put that out there for the record. If you find that you're not getting good antibiotics and stuff, there are, you know, plant-based holistic things that you can try too. So, yeah, whenever you suspect stuff like that, that can, from what I understand, UTIs is nothing to play with. So, but anyway, there's a new antibiotic out there. Now, a Southern California woman pled guilty on Friday to charges that she defrauded the U.S. Postal Service out of, get this, $150 million by using counterfeit postage to ship tens of millions of packages. So, Luana or Angela Chen, who's 51, yeah, she was arrested this past May and pled guilty to conspiracy to defraud the United States and in the use of counterfeit postage. According to the statement from the U.S. Attorney's Office, she faces 5 years in prison. Okay, see, here is my point with sentencing. So you steal $150 million, you get 5 years in prison. You steal a slice of pizza in Mississippi someplace, you're going to get about 15, 20 years. Now, they didn't say anywhere in this story that they would have to pay that money back either. So with white-collar crime, they don't ask them to pay the money back. They usually take, like, a percentage. So years ago, Michael Milken, who was, you know, trading junk bonds, this guy, his boss was Ivan Bosky, I think was his name. But he goes to court. He got sentenced to jail, and they fined him $400 million, and he wrote them a check on the spot. $400 million. Right. They don't take all the money back for white collar crimes. They just ask for a percentage back.
It's like
he wrote them a check.
It's like I was looking at something online. They said the difference between white and black. They said, look what happened to Colin Kaepernick, who all he did was want to fight for equal justice for black folks, and Brett Favre, who stole money from the welfare system. They have not done anything to that guy yet, man. He should be in jail.
Right.
Yeah, should be in jail.
Yeah. You
know? They still love Brett Favre because he's so great, but he stole money from the welfare system.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you cannot, well, you know, it's kind of that thing that you can't make it up. It's like, these are actual cases. Brett Favre took money. He said, oh, I didn't know where it was from. But they took that money out of Mississippi.
Yeah.
Jackson State was one of the brokest colleges in Mississippi, right? They started getting, you know, coming up with Dion and all this other stuff. And they started blaming them. But that guy, Brett Favre, stole money. And they didn't ask him to pay it back. He has money. You know, so, yeah. We always... Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, doctors are prescribing Ozempic for fertility. With women in their 40s falling pregnant naturally. So Ozempic, which is the weight loss pill that people are having some kind of other results for, they said that under some recent findings that it helps with fertility. So doctors began doling out Ozempic to women struggling to get pregnant, creating a baby boom that they're calling Ozempic babies. So doctors do not have a conclusive evidence yet that it's a viable treatment for infertility, though. But they're saying that they're making them more fertile. Now, I can crack some jokes right now, but I think you'll have to send your letters to Jay. But losing weight would probably – never mind. You know where I was going with that, Elliot. So I'm not going to go there, but I'm like, you lose weight, you have more. That's what the evidence is showing us. Send your comments to Jay. I'm just saying Ozempic, fertility, whatever. All right. OJ Simpson's Bank of America credit card has been auctioned off for $10,000 2 weeks after he passes away. So he passed away on April 10th.
Wow.
You know, at age 76. The Hall of Famer credit card is out there. I don't know who stole it, who got it, but it expired last year, and his bank card was sold at auction for $10,675. Who would buy his?
Who wanted that? Right. Who would want that?
Yeah. Now, you know how this became a news story? The person who auctioned, who sold it, said, "Oh, the money is going to go to Women's Battered, you know, some organization for battered women." Guess how much he's given to them? 10%. I'm like, he did that to get on the news. Right. He's giving nothing away. He's going to give them $150. He'd be like, cool, take this. And he's probably going to give, right? So he's going to give him $1,000 probably. But he's getting good publicity out of, I don't know why you would spend $10,000 for an expired credit card because it has OJ's name on it. But again, apparently, you know, and I'm still hoping that the NFL, hopefully Buffalo, will put OJ's number on their uniforms because he was not convicted of killing anybody, by the way. So I hope they kind of honor the Hall of Famer, you know, this upcoming season. Did you see that UCLA gave back Reggie Bush his Heisman?
Yes. I did. I saw that.
You know.
Yep. I like
yeah.
That.
Mm-hmm. In light of this whole NIL stuff. Yeah, shouldn't have taken it in first place. So their corrective measures is now to give it back. And, again, he had to go up under scrutiny for a while before they do that, but at least they're making a corrective measure. I think they should give him his Heisman and a check, but that's just all I'm saying. Like, he needs damages because they're making a ton of money now, so they want to bring him back in the fold. Now, Rochester, City of Rochester, New York, their city council sent a letter to New York State's Attorney General Letitia James on Saturday, hoping that she would investigate Monroe County's District Attorney Sandra Durley's for her conduct. So in the recent body cam footage, I don't know if you saw this float through their viral social media, but she was on body cam with a policeman, and she wouldn't stop doing a traffic stop in Webster, New York. She drove to her house, and she started cursing him out. She called the chief of police, and all he was going to do was give her a ticket, and she got flagged for driving 20 miles over the speed limit. Now, at one point, the body cam video had her telling the officer that she knows the law better than him and calling him a-hole, is what it says in the news story.
Wow.
I didn't know how to not say that word, and I couldn't find a substitute. A butthole, it's still the same thing. But anyway, so it was weird that, you know, the Rochester City Council is trying to get the Attorney General to, you know, to kind of, I guess, investigate her, because the DA, who is the prosecutor, would prosecute their own case for a speeding ticket. So you drive 20 miles over the speed limit and drive to your house, you would think about 30 cops would show up, right? But since it was the DA, that only that one cop showed up, and she would not cooperate. All he had to do is write her a ticket and send it in the mail. But, you know, I guess he had to check and see if she was DWI. But she was actually in her garage. She pulled the car in her garage, and she said she just didn't want to stop on the street. But she's the prosecutor.
Wow.
So I would have took my ticket.
See what happens.
Yeah, so as DA, she could at least took the ticket, send it to her own office, and said, hey, when you get this, we're not going to prosecute it. Like, she could have thrown it out.
Fair enough, right, but right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, yeah. But instead she was. Yeah, right. She's like, okay, just put that in there. But some people are above the law, as we have been learning through the Trump trial, that some people don't get treated like everybody else. Now, a cop and military veteran, oh, good Lord, I didn't know I was going to these stories this early. A cop and military veteran, 29, raped a 13-month-old baby and blamed her broken arm and bones on the family dog. So a Pennsylvania police officer and military vet has been charged with that and blamed it on a diaper rash and the family dog. Now, again, I know where we are in the show, so I'm going to have to run through these stories really quickly because you know what happens is that people don't think that these stories are out there and they act like this is foreign. But there's a drug-addicted mom who was 39. She was sentenced to 20 years in prison for leaving her 13-month-old toddler to die in a hot car for 8 hours while she dumpster dived. So Elizabeth Ann Case, who's 39, was originally charged with capital murder of her son. And after she left the infant in a hot car while she was dumpster diving. Yeah, we do still have these cases out there. Yeah. So, actually, here's a story that I missed. I'm going to go back to the rest of those stories because there's a bunch of them for just want to catch up. But, I know I did the warning of the shrimp and lobster contain the dangerous levels of cancer-causing, what's called forever chemicals. They researchers from New Hampshire found that shrimp and lobster contain dangerous levels of what they're called PFAS. They're just forever, what's called forever chemicals, which means they'll stay in your body for forever. So Dartmouth College researchers tested several types of seafood bought from various sites and found 26 types of those type of carcinogens.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, yeah, it's we have to keep on these stories, and I keep thinking about that. I'm like, we can't keep missing them because they're not making major news, but you have to watch out for your food. A lot of times, when it comes down to it, we just have to watch out for our food. All right. Now, Angie Harmon, she was on – what's one of those shows was she on? It wasn't the one with Ice-T. What is that show that Angie Harmon is on? Do you remember? Law and Order. Do you remember Angie Harmon? Her brother is on. So her dog bit an Instacart driver. Before the animal, and then the Instacart driver shot and killed the dog. Now, the former employee of Instacart, said that the dog charged at him, and there's video of the dog doing it. So 51-year-old former Law & Order star Angie Harmon revealed on Instagram that her dog Oliver had been killed by the shopper after they dropped off her groceries in her home in Charlotte, North Carolina. So the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department said that the delivery man, only known as Christopher, did have bite marks on his body. They added no charges will be pressed against the man and that he did have a past history of arrest, but he has not been convicted of a felony previously and was entitled to carry a weapon, carry a firearm under their state's open carry law. However, the Instacart shopper who Harmon said she claimed worked under another person's name. Now, she's trying to get him on a technicality. She's like, it wasn't the same person. So she wanted to get him fired. So he will no longer be able to work for the service as his actions violated their code of conduct. Yeah, you can't shoot dogs, but you can shoot them if they're biting you. So Angie Harmon wrote in her Instagram that he got out of the car. Well, how did she say that? She's saying that he got in the car and attacked her dog. But they know that that didn't happen.
Wow.
And now, so I get to change her name to Karen, whatever was her name.
Exactly.
She's going to be another.
Exactly.
Right. Karen Herman kind of said that. She literally lied, and they found out that her dog was biting the guy, but she wouldn't restrain her dog, and she went and got him fired. And then tried to get sympathy, which was funny. She tried to get sympathy from going on Instagram telling people that her dog died. So she said he got out of his car, delivered food, and then shot our dog is what she posted. That's just mean woman right there. All right. So
yes.
Here's back to my other stories. Now, a Florida woman, 23, posed as a schoolgirl. I don't know if I did this story. And she slept with five boys between the age of 12 and 15. And so the Florida woman pretended to be a 14-year-old and molested some teenage boys while she was working at, I know.
Wow.
She was working, but then she posed as a 14-year-old girl and slept with five kids at that school. You know, we didn't play black or white last time. You know, I just figured I had one of those. All right, wait a minute. So an American wife, 44, was found dead after extreme sex as cops arrested her husband, who was 50, over risky practices during their vacation to Spain. So local reporters say that the case was being investigated as a gender violence before being upgraded to a homicide, since the current evidence points to an accidental death in an intimate context. So if sex motivation is confirmed, it would have been the third fatality of its kind in that city this year. I don't know what's going on in that city. Yeah, I don't know what's going on in that particular city in Spain, but it's the third one this year. All right, so if you're going on a honeymoon, don't go to Spain. I'm just saying that they're doing a little extra. They're doing a little extra on there. So, all right. So on that note, hey, are you in control of the board there, Les?
Damn.
Okay. Hey, find black or white for me, because you and I are going to play this game. We've been missing this for a while because we've been running right up against the clock. So
okay,
we're going to play it today. Uh-huh.
Let me see if it's still on there. Let me look it up and see.
Okay. So just so that I explain what's about to happen. So here's where we go through some news stories. And Elias is going to tell me, is, you know, somebody in this story black or white. I will name what the person is. It's either the main character, the side character, it's somebody. But we're going to play a game of black or white whenever we get the music. And if we don't get the music, we may still play. So just want to clue our audience
like
in that night.
It's like my computer is slow for some reason.
Okay, well.
It's not even pulling up.
Okay.
Take the time. Says, Tate, I'm a sponsor.
Okay, because I do have a couple more stories that I want to do. You know, because I didn't do this one, but the Biden administration said that it would limit what bank charges for late credit fees, for late fees on credit cards, and people, I guess they're saying they'll probe whether people, the private equity industry is making healthcare more cost more for Americans. So they're cracking down on the consumer side of the administration. So the administration will also finalize a rule that slashes credit card fees from an average of $31 down to $8. And, you know, some credit cards will charge you $45 or $40 for late fees. So the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, their director said the limit on credit card late fees will save American families $10 billion annually and an average of $220 per year for 45 million cardholders who are charged late fees annually. So the credit card issuer have been exploiting a loophole created in 2010 that allowed them to escape the federal ban on unreasonable fees by increasing them each year with automatic inflation adjustments. If you don't remember, during the Obama term, they put all of these consumer protections, and they put protections of, like, unnecessary fees in there, but they found a loophole, and they still started charging people. Like, you cannot turn your back on people making money because they'll figure out how to, you know, how to get more money out of you. But, yeah, so there's going to be a limit. So check your statements. I can't remember specifically when they feel like it's going to take effect, but it's going to be now. Biden already did sign it that your credit card late fees cannot be more than $8 for your credit card.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I can tell you why all the money is going to back somebody like Trump, because they need to make money. They don't really care about laws and people being okay. It is about money.
The economist said there's no inflation. He said what the inflation is that these corporations are making billions of dollars, so they don't want to get that money back. So that's where the best way of inflation comes into play. I was like, wow. Right.
Yeah.
Thinking no money they've ever made before. So now they're talking about, you know, hey, you know, why would we want to get that back? And like I said, that would be an incentive for the rich folks to put Trump back in office because they want to keep making their money. They don't care how much money they got. They want more.
Right.
And
they don't care.
They don't have it on the board, man. Black and white is not on the board, brother.
Okay, that's cool. Okay. So, you know, an Ohio mother finally gets a refund after being charged $1,000 for a sandwich at Subway. So Letitia Bishop said that she stopped at this Subway Columbus, the Subway sandwich shop in Columbus, to purchase three subs for her family in January, and she was charged $1,021.50 for the sandwiches. She's just getting her refund.
Wow.
Now, I don't know how much money they make in Subway, but wouldn't they know that that was a mistake if they seen one charge for $1,000? Like, you would think, okay, y'all might.
I was in Sacramento. They charged me in a hotel fee as a deposit $1,000. I flew right back and said, y'all charged me $1,000. That ain't the rectified it.
Yeah, I don't know why people don't realize that they can just reverse charges on stuff. I'd be like, that wasn't me. Like, just take it off. But, yeah, you can – I would just flat out, I'm not paying that. But, yeah, you got to watch your credit cards or your debit cards when you are – you know, when you have to hand them to people. Sometimes when you're doing the automated, you know, you're doing the tap or the swipe, those are more accurate, but you do have to watch your charges. And knowing that all you have to do is contact your bank or something, because if you have MasterCard or Visa, those logos on there, that's actually insurance. So it is up to the retailer to prove that it was you. So if you don't show ID or whatever, they have to reverse the charges automatically, and then they will investigate. But they'll charge you back. So, yeah. But that should have been easy. If she would have called her credit card company, they would have looked at that and said, that doesn't make sense to have $1,021. Maybe $2,150, but $1,021.50, they should have refunded that immediately. But
right.
The difference is that if you use debit, your bank has to give you the money back. If you use credit, it's the insurance from Visa, MasterCard, you know, Discovery, American Express. Those are insurance for your, and so the merchant is responsible. But mental note, don't use your debit when you go to the gas station or in any of these places. Because, you know, when they ask you to put in your PIN, that is using your debit. So your bank would actually have to make you whole, and that does take a little longer. I didn't think it would take that long since January. That happened in January 5th. And just getting that refund. Now, a female music teacher who claimed she slept with more than 100 people at the university groped and kissed 15-year-old pupil, according to their court documents. So this woman, Emma Ginger, who is 32, is accused of touching a 15-year-old boy twice while making an inappropriate appearance at a party in 2021. Prosecutors told jurors that she had taught the boy for a while and had a reputation for being a fun teacher. to say the least. The victim also gave police a police interview after he made a complaint about her conduct. You know, again, I've been 15. I don't know how many complaints that would have been for a normal 15-year-old, but she must have been off the rails. I'm just saying, in your comments to Jay, because I don't really want to hear.
Yeah.
But I was just as a 15-year-old boy, I don't know what she would have did to make him complain. She did something, is all I'm saying. I don't know anybody 15. Like, people flirt with folks, and every 15-year-old boy think they can date their teacher. Like, that's not new, right? I had it now, and I don't remember doing this, but I did have a friend of mine. We had a teacher who came in right out of college. Matter of fact, I wasn't even 15. I was probably in 10th grade. And the teacher, fresh out of college, was so uncomfortable with, you know, college-age male students. She went to an elementary school within about 3 weeks because the guys would not let out. They wouldn't let up on, no. I remember first day of class, she said, here's these cards. Could you put your contact information, your name, phone number kind of stuff? And one of the students said, can we have yours? And she said, never mind, I'll get your contact information from the office. Like, she didn't want anybody's contact information. No boys at that age are like, yeah, it is not a,
they're horny.
It's not a
Let's
good.
Let's call it what it is. They're horny.
You did well. Okay. So, right, I was going to say, I guess we can put it that way. But, yeah, that is crazy. Now, a top female banker was fired over her secret relationship with an employee. She received a promotion and higher pay, right? She gave this guy, a promotion and higher pay. But she had a 20-year career at RBC, which is in Canada, a $3 million salary. And she was the bank's first female CFO, and she had her employment terminated because, along with the individual who she had a relationship with. Now, through their though their identity wasn't revealed, Canada's largest bank paid the person $3 million a year. And that represented a 25% salary increase from the year prior. At the time, she was appointed in 2001. And, so here's the thing. She was the only female at Canada's big six banks, by the way, so it wouldn't be hard to figure out who it is. But I have to say this. Now, this is going to sound a little strange, but I kind of like don't see a problem with somebody dating somebody at the same company. I don't know why. I'm just not as prude as I think as I used to be. But I'm like, people date people who they're around. Long as it doesn't interfere with your work and stuff, I don't see why that's a problem. But she got fired because she promoted him and she was dating him. Hmm. All right.
I like the Fannie Willis thing.
Yeah, well, see, but Fannie Willis, again, the same thing. It's like he came on to a case. He got paid less than the other people who were there and showed no favoritism. So I don't. You know, I told you, even during that case, I was very lenient towards that because I don't get it. I'm like, people are human. And, you know, folks date people. I mean, it's, whether it's secret or not, that she didn't, there was no advantage, right? Like, what was the advantage that he got from dating her? Like, that, you know what I mean? Like, so, I know most of the time when it's men, then men get a bad rap for dating women who work, you know, with them, and women kind of a little bit differently. But I don't see what the problem is. I'm sure everybody else probably will disagree with me, but I just don't get it. I think people are grown. It's like working for somebody who you know, like, right? So knowing them or dating them is kind of the same. If you know somebody and they're a friend of yours and they work for you, as long as you can fire them if they don't do their job, I don't see what the problem is. Again, I might be just a little lenient on this. So I don't think we did this story from before because I kind of marked it as unused. But did we ever talk about the story of Kamora Lee Simmons, Russell Simmons' daughter? Kamora was his wife, right? So Kamora Lee Simmons.
Yeah, about dating the old guy.
Yes. So her, the day after her daughter, well, what happened is that she picture of, and I can't even pronounce the little girl's name. I call her little because she's 21. She dated a 65-year-old guy, and she posted a picture of her kissing the 65-year-old. So, you know, the day after her, you know, their daughter posted that, she was seen with this 65-year-old and paying no mind to their 44-year age difference. So her parents seemingly respond on Instagram, and Kimora, who's 48, posted and deleted the video of a mother panda pulling a baby panda away from somebody, and she wrote, "On my last nerves right now," right? So she had a passive aggressive way of dealing with the fact that her daughter was dating a 65-year-old, and she's 21. But I read the story, and the story kind of goes like this: the young girl said to her father that if you don't give me money, I'm going to get a sugar daddy. And he said said to her, you don't have the body for it. He said that she has B cups. Like, he did something foul. Like, they were going back and forth. Yeah, why would somebody's father say that to him? He said, you can't get a sugar daddy.
This was hard, man.
I know, but that's what's being reported. So I don't know that anybody said anything, but that was being reported that he said that to her. And she went and got a 65-year-old man. But you got to remember,
In her defense, her daddy did the same thing to her mama.
So that's what I was going to say. Didn't he meet her when she was like 15 or so? I'm not sure the age, but he met her when she was like 14, 15 or something. And he was in his 30s. So, yeah, that kind of happened. So, hey, whenever I see stories like this, I'm like, this is a story of payback or whatever, but anybody can debate it on the age difference. But that is crazy. So hopefully Jay is still listening. That Jay didn't go out to the club last night, and we're going to have Kimora call her. Call Jay and be like,
Jay sitting there with his mouth wide open, sleep. Come on, dog. It ain't going to work. Come on, man.
All right. Well, we'll make sure that we don't call him out too much on that. All right. Well, I guess we're out. We'll see you again next week on this.
Right,
we won't talk much.
Next week, man.
All right. See ya.
What I will.
You will. We'll say that again. What did you say?